This is Carl Lindebaugh, owners of KCNR Radio.
We just want to say happy holidays from everyone at the KCNR family. With the giving season upon us, we wanted to thank you for living local. The Reddit community means a lot to us.
So this season, as you're driving through town, doing your holiday shopping, support the advertisers that support this station. Local shops are often overlooked, but that's where you'll find the most unique and touching gifts this Christmas.
Live local, listen local, love local. And from everyone here at KCNR, Merry Christmas and happy holidays.
We all had friends and family that were affected by the car fire. Most of the cleanup is done now, and a lot of families are looking at rebuilding. If you relied on a well for your water system, it's important to assess the condition of your well and its capabilities to be able to meet the demands of new construction codes. I'm Ted Ogilvie with Diamond Core Drilling. We've been providing water well systems and pumps in Northern California since 1980. Let us help you with your rebuilding process. That's Diamond Core Drilling, 275-8162.
Hey, and welcome. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. I've got a lot coming up for you today. So, a little bit later on, we'll get into impeachment gate and Nancy Pelosi really losing it. But don't worry, it's just because she's a good Catholic. We begin today, however, with news on the economy. Very good news on the economy, in fact. There is a new jobs report out today. According to CNBC.com, the jobs market turned in a stellar performance in November, with non-farm payrolls surging by 266,000. The unemployment rate fell again to 3.5%, which is effectively full employment, according to the Labor Department numbers released this Friday. By the way, the number of people who are in the jobs market is now back to pre-recession levels in terms of percentages, which is a great thing. These totals easily beat the Wall Street consensus. Economists surveyed by Dow Jones had been looking for solid job growth of about 187,000. They saw the unemployment rate holding steady from October's 3.6%. The decline in November's jobless rate came amid a corresponding 0.1 percentage point drop in the labor force participation rate to 63.2%. Stocks opened sharply higher in reaction to the better-than-expected report, and bond yields also surged. Larry Summers, director of the National Economic Council, said, bottom line, America is working. These are very strong numbers. These are happy numbers. These are sunny Friday numbers. This was the best job growth since January's 312,000. By the way, we are in year 11 of the recovery. Year 11 of the recovery, which, you know, does suggest usually America hits a recession every decade or so. We had one in 2000, 2001. We had one in 2007, 2008. We had one in 1992. So this has been an extremely long recovery. Part of the reason for that is because it was a very slow recovery at the beginning under Barack Obama, who obviously constricted the ability of that recovery to grow. So you've had sort of this long, slow climb as opposed to the explosive growth that you've sometimes seen in the aftermath of other recessions. With that said, these are very, very good numbers. The jobs growth, again, was the best since January. While hopes were already up, much of that was based on the return of GM workers following a lengthy strike. That dynamic did indeed boost employment in motor vehicles and parts by 41,300, part of an overall 54,000 gain in manufacturing. So manufacturing is doing quite well right now. And people are in a good mood, right? People are out and they're buying and they're getting ready for Christmas. The job gains were spread among a multitude of sectors. Healthcare added 45,000 positions after contributing just 12,000 in October. It's always funny how whenever we discuss the government takeover of healthcare, very few people actually discuss what happens to the millions of healthcare workers who are in the healthcare sector that is much derided and put upon. Like, what happens to all those health insurance workers? Do they just magically pick up jobs at the government? The answer, of course, is no. Leisure and hospitality increased by 45,000. Professional and business services rose by 31,000. The two sectors, respectively, are up 219,000 and 278,000 over the past 12 months. Wage gains were also a touch better than expectations. Average hourly earnings rose by 3.1% from a year ago, which is a very solid statistic. The average work week held steady at 34.4 hours. So all this talk that you hear from Democrats about people are having to work two jobs to make ends meet. Well, if they were, then the average work week would not be 34.4 hours. And the fact is, Americans are working less for more. They're working less for more pay than they were 30, 40 years ago. Economists have been looking for wage gains of 3%. A separate gauge of unemployment that includes discouraged workers and the underemployed declined as well, falling to 6.9%, one-tenth of a percentage point below October. Also, there are retroactive revisions on the economy. September's estimate went up 13,000 to 193,000 jobs gained. The initial October count increased by 28,000 to 156,000 jobs gained. Those changes added 41,000 to the previous tallies and brought the 2019 monthly average to 180,000 compared with 223,000 in 2018. Tony Bedikian is head of global markets for Citizens Bank. He said this is a blowout number. The U.S. economy continues to be all about the jobs. The unemployment rate is at a 50-year low, and wages are increasing. Business owners may be getting more cautious due to trade and political uncertainty. Growth may be slow, but consumers keep spending. The punch bowl still seems full. This is the lowest jobless rate in the United States since 1969. The U.S. economy only needs to create about 107,000 jobs a month to keep that unemployment rate steady, according to the Atlanta Federal Reserve. Today's job report, more than any other report in recent months, squashed any lingering concerns about an imminent recession in the United States economy, said Gad Levinon, head of the Conference Board's Labor Market Institute. Employment growth also shows no signs of slowing further, despite the historically low unemployment rate. Now, there are sort of shadows of some bad news here. So, for example, retail companies only added a couple thousand net hires, as gains in general merchandise of 22,000 and motor and vehicle parts dealers of 8,000 were offset by an 18,000 loss in clothing and clothing accessories. In other words, online businesses are really having a serious impact on the retail sector. But the recession fears that have been surging seem to be waning just a little bit. Now, how much of this is due to the Fed loosening rates? It's hard to tell. I mean, the Fed continues to loosen rates in the midst of a very solid economy. But this is obviously very good news for the president of the United States. Almost 160 million people employed in the United States. This is the 24th record breaker for President Trump, according to CNS News. The unemployment rate, as I say, is now at a 50-year low. The civilian non-institutional population in the United States is 260 million. That includes all people 16 and older who don't live in an institution like prison, nursing home, long-term care facility. 164 million of those people are participating in the labor force, meaning that they either had a job or are actively seeking one during the last month. So we've got a labor force participation rate of 63.2%. The labor force participation rate has never been higher than 67.3%, which was a level last achieved in 2000. The Trump-era high was set last month at 63.3%. Economists say that a lot of retiring baby boomers are accounting for some of the decline since the turn of the century. I mean, the numbers are just astonishing. The November unemployment rates among adult men are 3.2%. 3.2% among adult women. Teenagers, only 12% unemployment rate. A 3.2% unemployment rate among whites, a 5.5% unemployment rate among blacks, a 2.6% unemployment rate among Asians, demonstrating once again that Asian privilege is not a myth. And Hispanics are at 4.2%. It's showing little or no change in November. Very, very big numbers for President Trump. Now, what this should say to you is that Trump should be absolutely crushing his opposition in the polls. With an economy that is this strong, Trump should be running away with this. Right? The fact is that he is an incumbent president with incredible economic numbers to brag about. Also, he stacked the federal judiciary. Also, on foreign policy, he strengthened the United States military. Right? Trump should be running away with this thing. He is not, according to the polling numbers, which forces you to ask the question, just why? And does that put the Democrats in good position? Or are they a little bit weaker than the media seems to assume? We'll get to all of that in just one second. First, let's talk about the simple fact that there are tons of people who want your data. Why? Well, if they've got your data, they can either sell it or they can monetize it, or they could just steal it and then steal your credit card number and then make money off you that way. Recently, over 100 million people had their personal information stolen in a major data breach. Social security numbers, contact details, credit scores, and more, all taken from Capital One customers. Good shot, you were affected. If you think hackers only target huge companies in order to get your information, you are wrong. This is why I use ExpressVPN. According to recent reports, hackers can actually make up to $1,000 from selling your personal information on the dark web, which is why you should encrypt your data. Use ExpressVPN. It's an app for your computer and phone that secures and encrypts that data so you can have peace of mind every time you go online. The app connects with just one click. It's lightning fast. And the best part is ExpressVPN costs less than $7 a month. Use my special link, expressvpn.com/Ben, right now. You can arm yourself with an extra 3 months of ExpressVPN for free. Support the show. Keep your information safe. That's expressvpn.com/Ben for an extra 3 months for free. ExpressVPN.com/Ben. Okay, so, as I say, President Trump should be running away with this thing. But according to the Real Clear Politics polling average, he is not. If you look at the national numbers, the fact is that Trump's national numbers are not particularly good. The general election polls show him trailing pretty much everyone and by fairly significant numbers. The last polls that I've seen were from maybe about 2 weeks ago, a week and a half ago, from Survey USA. That poll showed Biden leading Trump by 13 points, Sanders leading Trump by 12, Warren leading him by 7, Buttigieg by 7. Even Kamala Harris was leading him by 5. She's not even in the race anymore. And if you look at the general national polls, then what you tend to see is exactly this. Trump is competitive in some of them, He is utterly uncompetitive in others of them. But overall, the Democrats seem to have a bit of an advantage, at least in sort of the national polling numbers. Now, Trump can lose the national polls and still win the election. He can do that fairly easily. He could lose by 3-4 million popular votes if all those votes are stacked in California and New York. And that's what happened last time. Right now, he's running extremely competitive in exactly those battleground states that he was extremely competitive in last time. And not a single battleground state in the United States is worse off economically than when Trump took office, which is a hell of a strong pitch. What does that mean? It means that if the election becomes a referendum on Trump's personality, he's in trouble. But if the referendum is on anything else, if it's on the economy, and if it's on the Democrats are in serious, serious trouble. It is why virtually every election's sort of statistical analysis shows that if Trump were generic Republican, he would be up 10 points right now. He'd be in the mid-50s with these economic numbers. He's not. He's in the low 40s in terms of approval rating. And even in the best national polls for him, when he defeats Democrats, it's very narrowly. It's like 48, 47 in the battleground states. He's never winning 52% of the vote. He's always winning like 49, 48% of the vote. Okay, a lot of that is due to personality. But here is the thing. All of that is also predicated on him having no opponent. And the Democrats, they've got some personality flaws. They got some personality problems. And never were those on better display than yesterday. Now, as I've been saying for a long time, the best option for the Democrats, and I don't mean to strategize in favor of people who I hope lose, but Joe Biden is the best option for the Democrats. He's the best option for the Democrats for a simple reason. He's not alive. Being not alive is a real advantage in this election because inanimate object versus Trump means it's a referendum on Trump. Because hell, what do you think about this cup? It's great. It's a cup. Right? Inanimate objects, dead bodies, they're just there. They're objects. They're things. And so people don't have strong opinions about them. That's sort of how people feel about Joe Biden generally. It's all baked into the cake in the same way that it's baked into the cake for Trump. Also, he doesn't seem as scary as the other candidates. Right? Trump, his reelection is going to be based largely on him pointing at people like Sanders and Warren and saying, listen, we have the best economy in American history going right now. You want to turn that over to these kooks? You want, like, I don't care what you think of me. You really want Elizabeth Warren in charge of this economy? You want to take this economy and you want to just trash it? Turn it over to her. And you can say the same thing about Sanders. Buttigieg is not as scary, but Buttigieg, his ideas are eventually going to come out, and it turns out that he's fairly radical as well. Biden, by contrast, doesn't seem as scary. He's old. He's kind of doddering. He doesn't seem to have these same sort of radical ideas. He doesn't seem like he's going to be particularly effective as president. I mean, the man's a near octogenarian. And so the fact that he is unscary is exactly what cuts in his favor. There's only one problem for Joe Biden, which is that he happens to be Joe Biden. Right? His best option would be to play dead right now. Really, I mean, I understand he has to win primaries and all of that, but the fact is that the Democratic population sort of feels the same way about this that my analysis suggests that most Americans feel about this, which is why Joe Biden continues to lead in the race, even though he can no longer speak English. Between Nancy Pelosi, Donald Trump, and Joe Biden, I am not sure. I mean, we definitely have to establish English as a national language, I think, just so our politicians speak it. Because as we will see, none of these people speak English. And I'll be honest with you, I'm very much looking forward to a debate between Donald Trump and Joe Biden, mainly because it's going to be a debate between the Swedish chef from the Muppets and Chewbacca. And nobody's going to know what's being said, but it's going to be really amusing. It's just going to be Donald Trump going, and Joe Biden going, it'll be great. I'm looking forward to it. I'll explain in just one moment. First, let's talk about the fact that the Democrats are becoming increasingly socialist. I mean, they are openly talking about how socialism is wonderful. Among young people, socialism is becoming more popular, mainly because young people have never lived under socialism. Well, you got Democratic candidates who are openly embracing socialism, like Bernie Sanders. How socialistic are these Democratic candidates? The folks at FreedomWorks have put together a socialist scorecard evaluating where these presidential candidates stand on the issues of the day, how close they are to the Marxist ideal. If you'd like to check it out, just text Ben, that's my name, Ben, to 52886. You'll receive exclusive access to FreedomWorks' socialist scorecard. You can evaluate the candidates yourself. Decide just how socialist they are. FreedomWorks has spent a lot of time analyzing the policies of the people running against President Trump. You ought to know the details so you can argue with your friends. You can blast out that information to your coworkers. If you'd like to view all that information, please text Ben, that's my name, Ben, to 52886. Receive exclusive access to FreedomWorks' socialist scorecard right now. Again, text my name, Ben, to 52886. That's Ben to 52886 and receive exclusive access to FreedomWorks' socialist scorecard right now. Coming up, Joe Biden, who may be dead, shows he's alive by calling a man a fatso. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
If you have hard water, the limescale not only leaves white spots, it clogs pipes and breaks down appliances, costing you hundreds of dollars in energy and wear. Eliminate limescale and other water issues like brown staining, bad odors, and lead with HydroCare water products available from Wave Home Solutions. Wave's affordable systems don't use salts or chemicals. You'll love the way your water tastes, smells, and looks. Satisfaction guaranteed. For more information, go to WaveBestWater.com. That's WaveBestWater.com.
Are you looking for senior care for your mom or dad but don't know where to start? Hi, I'm Jen London with A Place for Mom. Nobody knows your parent or loved one better than you, and nobody knows senior living better than the experts at A Place for Mom. It's a free service, and we've helped thousands of families find the right place for their mom or dad. There's a place for answers, A Place for Mom. Call today.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-391-1755. That's 1-800-391-1755.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
Are you drowning in IRS tax debt?
I owe the IRS $37,000.
Get ready for a toll-free hotline. Take advantage of new IRS tax forgiveness programs that may protect you from IRS collection agencies. They have the power to garnish your wages, put liens on your property, and levy your bank account. Civic Tax Relief can help protect you from the IRS.
Civic Tax Relief basically represented me against the IRS, and by the time everything was completed, I didn't owe the IRS anything.
Find out about the Fresh Start program that is now available through Civic Tax Relief. Civic Tax Relief's special tax hotline can help you discover all the relief programs available for free.
I would recommend anyone who has a tax problem to contact Civic Tax Relief.
Just call 800-841-0908. 800-841-0908. Don't wait. Call now. 800-841-0908. 800-841-0908.
Make a healthy choice about the air you breathe. Start with the Wave Smart Ventilation Unit to expel the polluted damp air from your basement and crawl space. Then add upstairs a hospital-grade 6-stage air purifier, which includes a HEPA filter and a powerful dual UV system. Stop worrying about mold, odors, radon, carbon monoxide, chemicals, and hundreds of other pollutants that are trapped in your home. Visit dryhome123.com and learn how to make your home healthier and fresher all year round. That's dryhome123.com.
Welcome back to the Ben Shapiro Show. So, the good news for Joe Biden is he's dead. The better news for Joe Biden is that occasionally he shows he's alive. That's actually not a horrible thing. And what he did yesterday is he showed he was alive by calling a dude old, fat, and stupid. It's the perfect encapsulation of what our elections have become. A bunch of silent generation people yelling at each other and challenging each other to feats of manhood. So Joe Biden gets into it with this portly gentleman who apparently is an Elizabeth Warren supporter, shows up at one of his events in Iowa. And this portly Elizabeth Warren supporter questions Joe Biden about his son Hunter Biden and suggests that Joe Biden is corrupt because Joe Biden didn't do anything to stop Hunter Biden from taking jobs using his father's name, even though Hunter Biden, it turns out, is a useless ne'er-do-well who simply cashes in on the fact that his daddy is very famous. So Joe Biden got very angry about this and proceeds to call the man fat, old, and stupid, which is no way to go through life. Here's Joe Biden being Joe Biden, man.
You're selling access to the president just like he is. So
you're a damn liar, man. That's not true. And you want to check my shape on it? Let's do push-ups together here, man. Let's run. Let's do whatever you want to do. Let's take it on the push-ups. Okay, I'm not going to get in an argument with you, man.
Well,
yeah, you do. But look, here's the deal.
I'm not voting for you.
Well, I knew you weren't, man. You think I thought you'd stand up and vote for you? You're too old to vote for me.
He called the man fat right in the middle of the thing. Look fat. And by the way, he was this close to saying fat, though, was he not? And he was this far away. He was going to give him a Peloton bike. Look fat. It's It's so good. Come on. Come on. If you can't enjoy this, it's because you have no sense of humor. Just look fat. And then he calls him old. Okay, this guy's probably 10 years Joe Biden's junior. He's like, call it look fat. So his campaign spokesperson, Simone Sanders, she comes out and she says, no, what he meant to say is look fat. Look fat. Oh, that's what he meant to say. Not like how he had challenged him to a push-up contest earlier. By the way, if this old dude had gotten in a push-up contest with Joe Biden and defeated him, it would have ended Joe Biden's campaign on the spot. It would have been unbelievably great. So, tip, if you are a Trump fan who wants to make Joe Biden's candidacy obsolete, somehow tempt Joe Biden into a push-up contest and then do it with him. It would be great. By the way, Joe Biden also challenged this guy to an IQ contest. Donald Trump has also challenged people to IQ contests. I am perfectly happy and sanguine to have an IQ contest between Donald Trump and Joe Biden. I'm rooting for entertainment value at this point. I really am. Because, listen, I got to cover this stuff every day. I'm a human being, too. And I love to laugh. So this is pretty fantastic, right? He calls the guy, look fat, look fat. Now, will this launch 1,000 think pieces about how Joe Biden is calling and Elizabeth Warren? He's fat shaming this Elizabeth Warren supporter. Horrible, horrible old Joe Biden. The typical take on Twitter is that this was somehow going to hurt Joe Biden. And the answer is no. This is not only going to not hurt Joe Biden, it probably is going to give him a boost. Because even while I say it's good to be a corpse, every so often you should show a sign of life. And it's sort of like galvanizing a frog. Every so often you should have electricity shot through you just so you can appear animate. And there he looks a little bit animate, right? He looks like he's alive. And again, Donald Trump is president of the United States. I'm looking forward to Donald Trump, who has no sense of self-awareness, saying to Joe Biden, how dare you fat shame people? Like, Donald Trump does that on a regular basis. I want them on stage yelling at each other. That's all I want. Speaking of the Muppets, like what is it, Statler and Hofstetter, who are in the wings at the theater just yelling at each other? Oh, that's what I'm very much looking forward to. And then the portly Elizabeth Warren supporter decided to double down on everything he was saying. He should be running for president too. I need a lot of elderly Americans clubbing each other and calling each other names. If we're gonna go through this for a year, we need some comic relief. Iowa man. Right, the guy who was confronting Joe Biden and was called fat and old for his trouble. Fat, old, and stupid. That's what Joe Biden called him, because that's where we are. He is then sitting there being interviewed by the media afterward, and another Joe Biden supporter comes up to him, who also is probably a boomer or a member of the silent generation, and confronts him. And this turns into an episode of Jerry Springer. It's just spectacular. This is where we are in our politics.
Drop out of the race. What's your support? Why don't you just get out of here?
Stick it up here.
Yeah. You want to throw me out?
The guy just creeps up behind him. Why don't you get out of this portly older gentleman who supports Elizabeth Warren turns around and goes, stick it up your ass! Yep, that's American America! Yeah, and then he was asked, this Iowa voter, about Biden. He goes, well, at least I'm not senile. Sure, I'm old, but at least I'm not senile like Joe Biden. Spectacular stuff from this guy.
Joe Biden showed you here today. The anima, he was very, I would say he was pretty mean.
You bet,
pretty mean.
Yeah. That's good. I at least he's not, he's so old and he's senile anyhow.
Okay, by the way, I love that this guy has a sense of humor about Joe Biden, saying like, okay, well, yeah, Joe Biden got militant, but at least he's alive. At least he's alive. That's actually going to, I'm telling you, this is going to benefit Joe Biden. If Joe Biden had just said, listen, you fat ass, if he had really gone after him like Donald Trump style, right? Because if that's Trump just goes right after him, right? Trump doesn't even hold back. Like, you can see Joe Biden using at least what is left of his prefrontal cortex to stop himself. Trump just goes right at the guy and eviscerates him. Democrats are looking for that. They are looking for that. It's actually a good moment for Joe Biden. I'll tell you what is not as good for Joe Biden. And this episode is completely anti-conventional wisdom. So conventional wisdom is that Joe Biden put out an ad against President Trump, and the ad is good. But that moment in Iowa was very bad. It did not show that he was staid and solid. I think precisely the opposite. Yesterday, the best thing Joe Biden did was call that dude a fatso, and the worst thing he did was release this stupid ad suggesting that voters give a damn what Emmanuel Macron thinks of Donald Trump. Coming up, we've talked about some things that are good for Biden. There's some things that are not so great for Biden also. We'll get to those. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Learn more about our shows and hosts. Check us out online at kcnr1460.com. KCNR 1460.
Shining Care presents a free monthly lunch and learn to prepare the community for aging life. Expert speakers present helpful topics for safety and wellness. Topics include care plan options and elder abuse prevention. This month's highlighted topic will be nursing home discharges. What to know before you go, presented by Long-Term Care Ombudsman. Be informed and enjoy lunch provided by Hilltop Estates, December 11th from noon to 1:30 at Redwood Park Community Room. For more information or to RSVP, visit shiningcare.org. KCNR is proud to announce that we are now live at 96.5 FM, as well as online, and as always, heard on 1460 AM. Weekday mornings, wake up with the Sue McClain News Hour, followed by Free Fire Radio, your talk radio station at the epicenter of change in downtown Reading. 9 to noon, be informed and laugh along with Armstrong and Getty, the conscience of the nation. Noon to 3, find your financial peace with Dave Ramsey. 3 to 6, the hard-hitting constitutional expert, Mark Levin. Monday through Thursdays at 6 p.m., local shows feature everything from the paranormal to pop culture to unsung heroes of our area. 7 to 9, Ben Shapiro with an expanded program that brings the issues of the day to your radio. And finish your weekday with the Chris Plant Show, 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. KCNR, now on 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, and always online. More than ever, we're your locally owned, community-connected talk radio.
No one plans to visit the emergency room, but when life's accidents happen, you need to get treated, not seated. Shasta Regional Medical Center is located at 1100 Butte Street in downtown Reading. They have emergency room doctors and staff that guarantee you will be seen by a medical professional within 30 minutes of your arrival. Shasta Regional Medical Center believes in delivering patient-centered health care with compassion and respect for every patient and their family.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? Every week there's a new chapter. To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program, Sunday morning at 9 a.m. on KCNR 1460 AM with your hosts, Wynn Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson State of Mind.
From the Pacific Justice Institute, this is The Legal Edge, defending your rights as a Christian, a parent, and a citizen. Here's Brad Dickus.
In a recent speech, Attorney General William Barr strongly underscored the religious foundations of America. He said the founders saw religious liberty as the scaffolding on which they hung a free government. Well, Mr. Barr reminds us that free government only works for religious people who know there is a transcendent moral order preceding state or man-made law. He is concerned that militant secularists not only promote their own view, but seek to silence the religious voice. Folks, Pacific Justice Institute shares this concern. Become a partner today to help PJI defend the religious voice. Visit PJI.org.
The Pacific Justice Institute provides legal representation to individuals without charge. Learn more at PacificJustice.org. That's PacificJustice.org.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Commons Senior Living. I want to share some thoughts from local 53-year teaching icon Phyllis Hutchinson about her experience living here at River Commons.
To come into a place with this many people and not know the people and be comfortable immediately, that says so much to me. Everybody's so happy. Everybody's talking to everybody. I felt apart the minute I moved in. The music that's brought in, what a wonderful thing to do for people, that we can go down and sit and relax and be entertained. I absolutely cannot imagine a thing that could be done around here that would improve it in any way.
Call today for a tour or lunch in a tour and see for yourself why our residents, just like Phyllis, love living here. River Commons Senior Living, 301 Hartnell, or check us out on the web, river-commons.com.
Hi, I'm Sharon Clark of Home Helpers. It's amazing to look back at all the families we've touched since 2004, but our clients say it best.
I want to express my deep appreciation for the love and support you and your...
So fortunate to have an organization like Home Helpers.
You never know how much your contribution meant or how greatly you touched our lives.
Thank you so much for helping me care for my husband.
After hearing what it's meant to them, I truly can't imagine doing anything else. When you need help for your loved one, choose Home Helpers. There is no place like home.
Getting into college doesn't happen magically. You have to take the right classes now, like Algebra 2, Biology, and a Foreign Language. Learn more at knowhowtogo.org.
Brought to you by the American Council on Education, Lumina Foundation for Education, and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to the Ben Shapiro Show. So, yesterday was a mixed bag for Joe Biden. On the one hand, he did something amazing. He called man fat. Which, come on, let's be real, Donald Trump's the president. It's good for Biden to do that sort of thing. But then he did something that really wasn't that great. So Biden releases this ad because Trump was at NATO and some of the other leaders were talking bleep about Trump behind his back. And Biden releases this ad talking about how Donald Trump is not respected by world leaders, because that's exactly what a voter in Ohio cares about, right? In Wisconsin and Pennsylvania, like, oh my God, if Justin Trudeau doesn't like President Trump, what are we going to do? Here was that stupid ad.
Camera laughing about President Trump.
Several world leaders mocking President Trump.
They're laughing at him.
My administration has accomplished more than almost any administration in the history of our country.
Didn't expect that reaction, but that's okay.
If we give Donald Trump four more years, we'll have a great deal of difficulty if ever being able to recover America's standing in the world and our capacity to bring nations together.
Okay, so then we need a leader. So the Pod Save America bros were loving this, right? The Pod Save America bros were like, oh, what a great ad from Joe Biden. No one cares. No one cares. Okay, if you believe that voters care, oh my God, what did Boris Johnson have to say about our president? No one cares about that. Nobody. By the way, I'm very much looking forward to all of the fact checkers suggesting that ad needs to be fact checked and pulled down. Why? Because guess what Joe Biden did in that ad? So there's a clip of Donald Trump talking about how we've accomplished more than any other president has at this point. And then there's this sort of rich laughter that comes from the audience. They cut that. Yeah, they actually cut it. They manipulated the video. Because originally there were like a couple of people who laughed, and then Trump said, I wasn't expecting that. And then there was a big laugh at what Trump said. Okay, but they actually cut the big laugh in front of Trump's laugh line, before Trump's laugh line. So fake news, right? Fake news. But I don't think there's going to be an overwhelming call to ban Joe Biden's ad on that basis, do you? Okay, meanwhile, speaking of things that were bad for Joe Biden, so again, I think that ad's not great for Joe Biden. I think that him calling a dude a fatso at an event is actually kind of good for Joe Biden, because this is our modern politics. It shows authenticity. It shows that Joe Biden ain't going to be knuckling under to anybody. The other bad thing for Joe Biden is that John Kerry endorsed him yesterday. We'll get to that in just one second. First, let's talk about the fact that you need to add life insurance to your agenda this year. You do. Are you an adult? Is your family a family? Do you need to make sure they are taken care of in case, God forbid, something happens to you? Then you need life insurance. Well, good news. This is where Policy Genius can help you out. They will find you the right insurance at the best price, and they'll do all the work to help you get covered. Policy Genius makes finding the right life insurance a breeze. In minutes, you can compare quotes from the top insurers to find your best price. You could save $1,500 or more a year by using Policy Genius to compare life insurance policies. Once you apply, the Policy Genius team will handle all the paperwork and the red tape. Policy Genius doesn't just make life insurance easy. They can also help you find the right home and auto insurance, disability insurance. So if you need life insurance but you aren't sure where to start, why not start at PolicyGenius.com? It only takes a few minutes to find the right life insurance policy and apply and cross another thing off that to-do list. And why do you want to think about life insurance any more than you could possibly need to? Policy Genius. When it comes to life insurance, it's nice to get it right. Go check them out right now. PolicyGenius.com. Again, that's PolicyGenius.com. Shop competitively. Get the best price. PolicyGenius.com. Okay, so things that are bad for Biden, that international ad, no one cares about it. Also, John Kerry endorsed him yesterday. That's not a shock, because John Kerry and Joe Biden's sons work together. They're very close. They'd started a venture capital firm together that was doing business in places like China and Ukraine. And so John Kerry endorsed Joe Biden. I'm mainly excited about that because I do a fairly good John Kerry impersonation, and now I get to break it out again. But two elderly, non-exciting candidates endorsing each other is not exactly something that you want to tout. Hey, was everybody vying for the vaunted John Kerry endorsement here? So John Kerry puts out a statement and says,
I believe Joe Biden is the president our country desperately needs right now. Not because I've known Joe so long, but because I know Joe so well. Through it all, I've seen Joe tested in public service and tested in life itself. I know his character. I know the measure of a person who never stopped fighting for millions of Americans. Come on out here, Joe. Show him you're alive.
Hi, everybody. John, I am so excited.
Yeah. Yep. So, in any case, is any of this a true threat to Trump? I think the problem for the Democrats is not as much as they would like. I mean, like I think Joe Biden has a shot against Trump. You look at the polls, and it's hard to say he doesn't have a shot against Trump. But by the same token, is he exciting? Like, the good news for him is he's boring and he's non-threatening. The bad news for him is that he excites nobody. So you're just going to have to hope that the Democratic base hates Trump so much that they show up to vote for Biden. Democrats kind of counted on that in 2016. It didn't work out terrifically well for them. It may not work out that well for them in the aftermath of impeachment. If impeachment ends up just kind of dying a quiet death, then you could see some pretty disillusioned Democratic supporters. And if all of these woke candidates, these progressive candidates drop out, you could see exactly the Bernie effect in 2016. There were a lot of Bernie Sanders voters who did not show up to the polls to vote for Hillary Clinton last time around. Now, I will note that, again, this race is becoming fun because everybody is going wild and crazy. There's a Buttigieg event in the last couple of days. A couple of black folks in South Bend, Indiana, decided to put together an event in favor of Pete Buttigieg, and a white, probably boomer, decides to get up and lecture the Black Lives Matter protesters. He's a Black Lives Matter protester. He decides to get up and lecture the black supporters of Pete Buttigieg. That's not the part that I'm pointing to here. If we're talking about fun in American politics, I'm talking about the lady in the front row who you will see or hear here getting up and waving her cane at this guy, trying to smack him with the cane. That's American politics. Presidential candidates who call other fat old people fat and old. Fat old people who tell other fat old people to stick it up their ass. Elderly people trying to smack each other with their canes. Does it feel like we're in the last days here? Maybe a little bit. Here's a little bit of this video of a lady trying to smack a dude with her cane because she's mad at him.
Where are these black leaders? Who chose these people as black leaders? These black leaders are here to talk about Pete Buttigieg when there is black leaders. People are having a crisis,
sir,
because of police violence.
One of the things we're going to get to.
Oh, here comes the lady. There she is. Yes, and people are grabbing her coat from behind. And they're laughing. Look at the lady who's grabbing the lady's coat from behind. She's laughing. She's like, this is funny. We're going to smack this guy down with the cane. Yeah, America, everything's going great over here. Most powerful free country in world history. Smacking each other with their canes, calling each other fat and old. Good times, good times. But we can always count on the youth of our country to save us, right? Because it's not like we would use children as props or anything. Speaking of using children as props, and Pete Buttigieg. So last night, Pete Buttigieg held an event, and a 7-year-old girl got up and asked Pete Buttigieg about my body, my choice. Really, because that's not, now this puts out this video, of course, because nothing is more charming than small children asking about the killing of the unborn in the womb. Very, very exciting stuff.
You believe in a woman's right to choose about her own body? I agree with that.
You sound pretty sophisticated for a child. Do you mind if I ask how old you are?
I don't mind.
Well, how old are you?
7.
Really? Well, you're ahead of your time. What I hope everybody, or at least most of us, can agree on is who gets to draw the line. And that's the person making the decision. That's the woman in question.
And little girl, if your mommy had decided that you just weren't worth it, well, that would have been it for you. Pete Buttigieg talking abortion with 7-year-olds. Just delightful. By the way, the media is starting to turn on Pete Buttigieg here because the media are very angry. They thought Elizabeth Warren had a clear path to the nomination. It turns out that nobody likes her plans, and the more they see of Elizabeth Warren, the less they like her. And so Pete Buttigieg has surged in the polls. Well, now the media are going after Pete Buttigieg and going after Pete Buttigieg hard. They're going after him from the left. They're suggesting that Pete Buttigieg is a corrupt capitalist crony. I'll get to that in just one second. First, let's talk about making your house look nicer. How can you accomplish this? I mean, you already did the floors, you already painted the place, but something still looks dingy? It's your blinds, isn't it? This is why you need to check out blinds.com. Well, I am not somebody who spends every waking minute thinking about how to blinds shop, and that's why when it was time for me to change my window dressings, my window coverings, it was blinds.com I used. With 15 million windows covered, over 30,000 five-star customer reviews, Blinds.com is America's number one online retailer for affordable, quality, custom window coverings. Whether you are looking for energy efficiency, whether you just moved, or you want to refresh the look of your home, Blinds.com makes the whole experience fast and easy. Every order gets free samples, free shipping, a free online design consultation. You send them pictures of your house, they send back custom recommendations from a professional for what will work with your color scheme, furniture, and specific rooms. They'll even send you free samples to make sure everything looks as good in person as it does on paper. And here's the best part. You accidentally mismeasure, you screw it up, Blinds.com remakes your blinds for free. For a limited time, my listeners get $20 off at Blinds.com when you use promo code Ben. That's Blinds.com, promo code Ben for $20 off. Blinds.com, promo code Ben. Rules and restrictions apply. So this field is desperately thin, and the media are turning on Pete Buttigieg. They don't like Pete Buttigieg. They're very upset that Kamala Harris is out. They're upset that all of the woke candidates have been falling off the side of the road. And now they're very angry at Buttigieg. So the New York Times editorial board has a full piece today called Buttigieg's Untenable Vow of Silence. They're very angry at him because Buttigieg worked for nearly 3 years for the consulting firm McKinsey & Company. Okay, let's face this. I know a lot of folks who are just like Pete Buttigieg. When I was at Harvard Law School, there were 20, you know, I would say 50% of the class was like Pete Buttigieg, meaning highly intelligent people who went into consulting, sort of down-the-line liberals in terms of government spending, but not overtly and deeply anti-capitalism, not explicitly anti the American system. They weren't people trying to tear down free markets from the inside out. They just sort of wanted to curb the reach of free markets. That's sort of where Pete Buttigieg used to be, and it's where, in his better moments, he sort of lives. But this is where the New York Times hates him, because the left has moved left. Pete Buttigieg, as of 2011, was not this. And when he was working at McKinsey, which, again, is a very, very famous consulting company, McKinsey does business management, and they do it for a lot of clients that sort of toe-tag liberals don't necessarily like. So the New York Times is angry at him. They say Pete Buttigieg worked nearly 3 years for the consulting firm McKinsey & Company. He has presented that experience as a kind of capitalist credential, distinguishing him from some rivals for the Democratic presidential nomination. They'll try the socialist thing, Buttigieg told an Iowa audience in September. He said, but the thing is, I got started in the private sector. The thing is, says the New York Times, Buttigieg has said precious little about his time at McKinsey. He's not named the clients for whom he worked, nor said much about what he did. He says his lips are sealed by an NDA he signed when he left the firm in 2010, and that he has asked the company to release him from the agreement. It has not yet agreed to do so. This is not a tenable situation. Buttigieg owes voters a more complete account of his time at the company. Voters seeking an alternative to Trump should demand that candidates not only reject Trump's positions, but also his behavior, including his refusal to share information about his health and his business dealings. This standard requires Buttigieg to talk about his time at McKinsey. It similarly requires Biden and Bernie Sanders to stop dragging their feet and release their health records to the public. The obligation to provide more information ultimately falls on Buttigieg. He must find a way to give voters a more complete accounting of his time at the company. This is a coordinated hit, by the way. The Huffington Post has a similarly large article about Pete Buttigieg and Pete Buttigieg's unwillingness to turn over all the information about McKinsey. Buttigieg, for his part, says, I didn't do anything when I was at McKinsey. Nothing. I worked on spreadsheets and PowerPoints. Okay, well, sure. Sure you did. Sure. For whom? For which clients? Would they be clients that Elizabeth Warren would be happy with? By the way, Elizabeth Warren is leading this charge. She's basically using the editors over at the New York Times and the Huffington Post as meat puppets at this point. She criticizes Buttigieg for not being transparent enough about McKinsey, and then they immediately start parroting that message. Here's Buttigieg saying, nothing to see here, nothing to see here. Just keep move along. These are not the droids you're looking for.
This is my first job out of school. It mostly consisted of preparing spreadsheets and PowerPoints, but I would be happy to be able to share more about the consulting work that I did.
Can I ask, is there anybody that you regret representing?
No.
Did you ever represent a foreign government?
No.
A pharmaceutical company?
No, and again, I'm hoping that we'll get a chance to just be able to push all this out.
Okay, so I'm sure he is waiting and hoping for that. Or alternatively, he's not waiting and hoping for that at all. Meanwhile, Elizabeth Warren continues to trot out her insanely radical plans. This is why Joe Biden is the front runner. Elizabeth Warren is putting out economic plans predicated on the notion that tax increases themselves will help the economy. There is no evidence that this is true. The tax increases, not even how you spend the money, just the taking of the money from the top tier. If you just take it from the top tier, this creates extra income equality, and this prompts economic growth. Okay, this exact philosophy was not exactly a boon for the USSR, Cuba, or Venezuela. Okay, if Trump runs against this, he will wipe the floor with this perspective. Coming up, Impeachment Gate 2019. Nancy Pelosi lost it at a press conference yesterday. Don't worry, the media will defend her. She's just a good Catholic woman. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Make a healthy choice about the air you breathe. Start with the Wave Smart Ventilation Unit to expel the polluted damp air from your basement and crawl space. Then add upstairs a hospital-grade 6-stage air purifier, which includes a HEPA filter and a powerful dual UV system. Stop worrying about mold, odors, radon, carbon monoxide, chemicals, and hundreds of other pollutants that are trapped in your home. Visit dryhome123.com and learn how to make your home healthier and fresher all year round. That's dryhome123.com.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
If you have hard water, the limescale not only leaves white spots, it clogs pipes and breaks down appliances, costing you hundreds of dollars in energy and wear. Eliminate limescale and other water issues like brown staining, bad odors, and lead with HydroCare water products available from Wave Home Solutions. Wave's affordable systems don't use salts or chemicals. You'll love the way your water tastes, smells, and looks. Satisfaction guaranteed. For more information, go to WaveBestWater.com. That's WaveBestWater.com.
If you are behind on your bills, then this message is for you. How would you like to have a large portion of your credit card debt or medical bills forgiven? National Credit Card Relief would like to give you free information on a proven debt forgiveness program. It's not bankruptcy. It's not consolidation. This special program actually wipes clean the portion of your debt that is forgiven. Call for your free forgiveness information now. 800-291-6670. That's 800-291-6670. Don't wait. Call 800-291-6670. Not available in North Dakota.
Are you looking for senior care for your mom or dad but don't know where to start? Hi, I'm Jen London with The Place for Mom. Nobody knows your parent or loved one better than you, and nobody knows senior living better than the experts at A Place for Mom. They've helped thousands of families find the right place for their mom or dad.
I was so glad that I called A Place for Mom. My advisor really listened and was truly my partner in finding senior care for my dad. She went out of her way to get to know him as a person and was always there whenever I had a question.
The senior living advisors at A Place for Mom partner with thousands of families every month, listening and offering local knowledge and advice to help find the best senior living communities across the country. And it's a free service. Here's the number.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-469-0286.
There's a place for answers, A Place for Mom. Call today.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-469-0286. That's 1-800-469-0286.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So Nancy Pelosi is just a good Catholic, and she wants you to know that she doesn't hate anybody, especially not President Trump, who she absolutely wants to murder. So Nancy Pelosi is already saying that the House is going to draft up impeachment charges and that this thing is going to happen maybe before Christmas. There could be a vote before Christmas to charge him with high crimes and misdemeanors. Then it goes to the Senate. Okay, so Nancy Pelosi yesterday went nuts. You can see that she feels like she's the grip is slipping here. Right? Pelosi, as she walks off stage, has this crazed moment. And it really is a crazed moment. And don't give me the, it's sexist to call it crazy. That's absolute bullcrap. Okay, Howard Dean had a yell. It ended his presidential campaign. So if the idea is that acting crazy is bad for you politically, then that should apply to Nancy Pelosi also. This is a crazy moment. And somebody says to her, isn't the real reason that you Democrats are going at, like, there are people who suggest, including actual Republicans in Congress, that the reason Democrats are going after Trump is because they hate him. Which, I mean, fairly good evidence. Is that why this is happening? And Pelosi turns around and says to James Rosen, who works for Sinclair Broadcasting, she turns around and she says to him, I'm a Catholic. Catholics don't hate people. By the way, what a solid Catholic she is. Abortion up till points of birth. Here's Nancy Pelosi being very upset as a Catholic that someone used the word hate to describe her.
Do you hate the president, Madam Speaker? Because
I don't hate anybody.
Representative Collins, the reason I ask.
We don't hate anybody.
not anybody in the world. Don't accuse me.
I did not accuse you.
You did.
I asked a question.
This is about the Constitution of the United States and the facts that lead to the president's violation of his oath of office. And as a Catholic, I resent your using the word hate in a sentence that addresses me. I don't hate anyone. I was raised in a way that is full, a heart full of love, and always prayed for the president.
Oh, she prays for Trump. Yeah, and if you believe that one, I got a bridge I can sell you in Brooklyn. It's really nice. Comes cheap. Trump then tweeted out, Nancy Pelosi just had a nervous fit. She hates that we will soon have 182 great new judges and so much more. Stock market and unemployment records. She says she prays for the president. I don't believe her. Not even close. Help the homeless in your district, Nancy. USMCA. And that is the trade deal that Trump is trying to push through. Pelosi doubled down on this. She said it was disgusting. Disgusting to be asked if she hates Trump. Because as a good Catholic who supports the idea that men can become women and women men, as a good Catholic who believes that same-sex marriage should be federally mandated, as a good Catholic who believes that abortion should be legal up till point of birth, and maybe beyond, Nancy Pelosi is very offended that you would use the word hate to describe her feelings about President Trump.
I was raised a Catholic. My college roommate, Rita Meyer, and my college classmate, Mary Beta, are here with me. We were raised, and my dear husband, Paul, and Danny, our friend, Susan, we were raised in a Catholic faith, and the word hate a person was just, that just didn't happen. You know, the word hate is a terrible word, but you might reserve it for vanilla ice cream or something like that, but not, I'm a chocoholic, but not for a person. And it is, so for him to say that was really disgusting to me.
Disgusting. 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 Yeah, it's really... It's wild. And there's an opinion piece by Karen Tumulty over at the Washington Post defending Nancy Pelosi on this, saying she's such a good Catholic. One of the things every Catholic child is taught is that the word hate should never be used in connection with another human being. This admonition flows from the expansive Catholic interpretation of the Fifth Commandment. In a general audience last year in St. Peter's Square, Pope Francis declared that to hate is to murder in your heart. And then it talks about Nancy Pelosi's response. Her critics will question her sincerity and point out she is broken with Catholic teaching on big issues of doctrine, chief among them abortion. The church has their position, we have ours, which is that a woman has free will given to her by God, Pelosi told the New York Times in 2015. Pope Pelosi explained. But those who know her well insist religious belief is at the core of everything Pelosi does. There are two pillars in her life in terms of her beliefs, her Catholicism, a very deep faith, and her family. Her friend and fellow California Congresswoman Anna Eshoo told colleague Paul Kane on Thursday, this is the authentic Nancy. No small part of that was the influence of her mother, a daily communicant who at her funeral was referred to as being molded by Regina Caley, the Easter prayer to Mary. My favorite part of this piece, by the way, is the admission by Karen Tumulty that she actually understands what religious people believe. She will only apply it to Nancy Pelosi, however. She says, disgust to a Catholic is not the same as hatred. As Pelosi noted, political differences should be resolved in the 2020 election. So the case that is being made here is that Pelosi doesn't hate the president. She just has disdain for his activity. In other words, she hates the sinner, but not the sin. Weird that Karen Tumulty and the rest of the folks in the left-wing press will believe Nancy Pelosi when it comes to President Trump, but they will never believe a religious person when they talk about any amount of sin that a religious person discusses. There, it is motivated by animus and hatred and brutality. Eric Swalwell, when he's not advocating the nuclear annihilation of gun owners in the United States, is not farting on national TV. Eric Swalwell was on MSNBC, and he said it's sexist to criticize Nancy Pelosi this way. Sexist! God, I'm so tired of this crap. Seriously. Everybody in the United States in the political sphere takes their share of crap. Nancy Pelosi, Speaker of the House. Woman up. Here's Eric Swalwell complaining that if you thought that was a wild response by Nancy Pelosi, it's because you hate women or something.
That's how they talk about women. You know, if it was a man talking to a reporter that way, and the president does that often, they would never characterize it that way. She was asked an unfair question, and she gave a serious response.
Everybody nodding along on MSNBC very solemnly. Oh, the nodding. By the way, are the Democrats doing this because they hate Trump? Here's Representative Al Green explaining there's literally no limits to the number of times they would try to impeach Trump. Al Green has called for Trump to be impeached pretty much every day since he was elected.
A president can be impeached more than once. So we can do...
For many people, their faith, their family, and their health are the most important things in their lives. Every day, the work that I do influences these things. Children go to college, couples move into their first home, people retire, businesses start, and charities are supported. All of this in part because of the work I do. I can make complicated things clearer so people understand them. I can solve problems and find solutions. People need someone to put their interests first. And for many people, I am that someone. I can lend an ear, stand with you during life's ups and downs, and provide that advice at just the right time. That's why I love my job. That's why I'm a financial advisor, Susan Eastman, with Wells Fargo Advisors in Redding, California, 243-7561. Once again, this is Susan Eastman with Wells Fargo Advisors. I'd love to be your financial advisor. Please give me a call at 243-7561.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Redding by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Gordon Griffin. The government of Saudi Arabia has condemned a fatal shooting by a Saudi aviation student at Naval Air Station Pensacola in Florida. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis says that he talked with President Trump about the shooting suspect being a Saudi military student.
Given that this was a foreign national in the employ of a foreign service, and there'll be time to do this, but obviously the government of Saudi Arabia needs to make things better for these victims. And I think that they're going to owe a debt here, given that this is one of their individuals.
U.S. officials investigating Friday's attack for possible links to terrorism. The Saudi student opened fire in a classroom, killing three people before a sheriff's deputy fatally shot him. 12 people were hurt in the attack, including the two sheriff's deputies who were the first to respond. Correspondent Mike Hempen reports that hiring in the U.S. has reached its highest level in nearly a year.
The Labor Department says employers added 266,000 jobs in November, the highest level since January. The unemployment rate dropped to 3.5%, matching a 50-year low, and wages increased 3% compared to a year earlier. The job gains are contrary to the widespread belief that the low jobless rate has made it hard for businesses to find workers. Persistent hiring should allow consumers to keep spending, a key component of economic growth. Mike Hemp in Washington.
Police say an Alabama police officer has been killed during a drug-related shooting. The chief of the Huntsville Police Department announced the officer's death during a news conference Friday night. Authorities did not release the name of the slain officer, but said he was a 20-year veteran of the department. Officers captured the suspect after a short chase, and police say that the shooting occurred during a task force operation after investigators learned of a large amount of drugs being delivered. More on these stories at townhall.com.
This story is called The Ugly Truth About Timeshare. If you think you've done your family a favor by buying a timeshare, you need my help. Hello, I'm Chuck McDowell, CEO and founder of Wesley Financial Group. 10 years ago, I started helping folks cancel their timeshare contracts, and in the process started what's now called the timeshare cancellation industry. Timeshare is the only thing that you can buy that you can't tell me how much it's going to cost or when it's going to end. When you buy a timeshare, you give them a blank check to fill out any amount they want for annual maintenance and assessment fees. Sound crazy? The crazy thing is, this never ends. Stop the insanity today. Call my office now. I guarantee if we can't cancel your timeshare contract, you'll pay nothing.
Were you lied to when buying a timeshare and want out? Get the facts about timeshare cancellation. Call Wesley now for your free information kit. 800-970-8855. 800-970-8855. 800-970-8855.
Disgraced California Republican Congressman Duncan Hunter has announced that he will resign his seat in January.
In a statement, Mr. Hunter says, quote, "Shortly after the holidays, I will resign from Congress. It has been an honor to serve the people of California's 50th district, and I greatly appreciate the trust they have put in me over these last 11 years, unquote. Mr. Hunter was indicted last year on 60 federal charges that he had stolen $250,000 of campaign money and used it for personal use. This past week, he pleaded guilty to a single count of conspiracy in relation to those charges. As to a successor, California's Governor Gavin Newsom has the option either to leave the seat vacant until next November or to call a special election in March. George Manzani reporting.
U.S. consumers ramped up their credit card spending in October. The Federal Reserve said Friday that total consumer borrowing rose in October by a seasonally adjusted $18.9 billion. News and analysis at townhall.com. German Chancellor Angela Merkel visited the Auschwitz concentration camp on Friday, her first trip to the site.
It's been described as a place which commands silence. The Nazis murdered more than a million Jewish men, women and children at Auschwitz. But Angela Merkel will speak here later, and many hope she'll deliver a powerful message. The Chancellor, who walked solemnly through the gates of the notorious death camp this morning, is here to commemorate the 6 million Jewish people killed in the Holocaust. But almost 75 years after the liberation of Auschwitz, far-right MPs sit in the German parliament, and the country is experiencing a significant rise in anti-Semitism.
BBC correspondent Jenny Hill. China's finance ministry says Beijing is waiving tariff hikes on U.S. soybeans and pork while the two sides negotiate a trade deal. China promised in September to lift the tariffs, but no details were released. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Purpose-driven banking. That's the vision behind the founding of Five Star Bank in 1999. Services inspired by partnership and defined by shared vision and goals. Five Star Bank, a champion of local economic development and community stewardship. Your success is their success. Now that's smart people doing good business. In a world that's both more connected and more isolated by high tech, Five Star Bank brings you a personal touch to small business banking, cash management, and online services. Five Star Bank, consistently rated among the very best by industry associations, rating agencies, and of course, customers and partners just like you. Your partner in success is Five Star Bank. FiveStarBank.com. Visit your local branch at 358 Hartnell in Reading. Progressive, professional, personal. That's Five Star Bank. Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
And welcome. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. I've got a lot coming up for you this hour. A little bit later on in the hour, we will be jumping into the mailbag. So if you have any final mailbag questions, now is the time to get them. And you can subscribe over at Daily Wire and send me questions for the mailbag. Also, a little bit later on in the hour, we'll be joined by Representative Chip Roy of Texas. We'll be asking him about impeachment. We'll also be asking him about President Trump's move to designate certain Mexican drug cartel factions foreign terrorist organizations. Is that a good idea or not? But we begin at this hour with a fascinating, fascinating take on the nature of sex, as in, like, men and women. There's a piece in the New York Times by Dr. Rachel McKinnon, an associate professor of philosophy at the College of Charleston and a professional track cyclist. Wow, a man of all trades, because as it turns out, Rachel McKinnon is a dude who says that he is a lady and therefore has been allowed to compete with women in cycling. He has a piece in the New York Times today called "I Won a World Championship. Some People Aren't Happy." Rachel McKinnon says this is not the beginning of the end of women's sports. Trans women are women. Now, whenever you hear that sentence, trans women are women, the next words out of your mouth should be "define woman." Because here is the problem. Either you define woman biologically, in which case trans women are eminently and obviously not women, because they are biologically male, no matter how many hormone treatments or surgeries they have had. They remain male. Or what you actually mean is a set of stereotypes. And if you mean a set of stereotypes, then they are culturally created. Well, if they are culturally created and they are gender constructs, as we have been repeatedly told by the feminist movement, and not connected with biology in any way, then womanhood doesn't exist. Because sets of cultural constructs are just that, constructs. So either men and women are discrete biological categories, or they are nothing, or they are terms with no meaning. But according to Rachel McKinnon, a biological man who's had hormone treatments, Rachel McKinnon should be allowed to compete with the ladies. Why? Well, because Rachel McKinnon says Rachel McKinnon's a real woman. How? Let's explain. The Velodrome in Manchester, England is a beautiful, fast indoor track. Its corners are gentle, and the temperature and humidity are well managed for speed. In October, racing in Manchester, I broke the Masters Women's World Record in the 200-meter time trial by 0.24 seconds with a time of 11.649 seconds. This race happened during qualification for the female 35 to 39 sprint event. My record is still slower than records in the 40 to 44 and 45 to 49 age categories. People are angry because I'm a transgender woman and I race in the women's category. Soon after my win, Donald Trump Jr. threw a Twitter tantrum about me. I've seen a huge uptick in the volume of hate mail I've received in the weeks since. First of all, don't send people hate mail. It's just nasty. I have four people who monitor my Instagram to delete hateful messages. They've been overwhelmed by the volume. Twitter is far worse. People love to claim that I cheated. I didn't. Cycling's governing body, the Union Cycliste Internationale, has no doubts that I followed all the rules. Well, right, you didn't cheat. It's the rules that are stupid. I completed an anti-doping test to ratify my world records. I didn't use any suspicious or dangerous tactics in any of my races. Many want me to race against men. I have news for them. I'm not allowed. I'm legally female. Yes, because you applied to have your sex changed to female. But that's also because the laws are incredibly stupid. You should not be allowed to change your sex to female on your birth certificate. You weren't born a female. You are a male. If you want to call yourself Rachel and be a male, that should be legally allowed. But categories have legal ramifications. And they should be based on reality, should they not? Like Rachel Dolezal shouldn't be able to declare herself black on all of her ID simply because she feels black on the inside. Many want me to race against men, says Rachel McKinnon. I have news for them. I'm not allowed. I'm legally female. My birth certificate, passport, driver's license, U.S. permanent resident card, medical records, and my racing license all have an F on them. The Union Cycliste Internationale, USA Cycling, Cycling Canada, the Canadian and U.S. governments, and the state of South Carolina all agree that I'm female. Yeah, there's only one thing that doesn't agree, and that's biology. Basic, factual biology. The rules require me to race in the women's category, says Rachel McKinnon. That's exactly where I belong. I am a woman, after all. I am female as well. Nope. In addition to competing in Masters Track Cycling, which is age-restricted in five-year increments, I compete in elite events such each summer. So first of all, I would like to wonder, why exactly cannot Rachel McKinnon identify as a member of a different age group? Really, explain to me. What if Rachel McKinnon feels younger than his age? Why can't he compete in a different age group? Well, you might argue, that's a biological fact. Correct, it's a biological fact. But also, 40 is the new 30. It's all a construct in your mind. Age is just a number, guys. Or is it a biological fact? My best result was a bronze in 2018, says Rachel McKinnon. My best elite result in 2019 was eighth. I am far from the fastest female track cyclist in the world. Okay, so now you get the bizarre spectacle of Rachel McKinnon, a champion male cyclist in the female category, who is arguing that because he is not better at racing, you should count him as a female. That's not an argument. If I put a fat dude in a tracksuit and have him compete against women, he'll lose. That doesn't mean that males generally should be allowed to compete against women if they identify against female as female. That's silly. That's not an argument in favor of the obliteration of categories. It's an argument for the notion that at the end of the bell curves, there are certain women who are going to be faster than the average man. That does not obliterate the categories entirely. The elite women's 200-meter record was set in September by Canadian Kelsey Mitchell, who only started racing 2 years ago at 10.154 seconds. My master's world record is 13% slower than hers. My current elite world ranking in the sprint event is 105th. Miss Mitchell is on her way to represent Canada at the 2020 Olympics. I am not. I returned home from the 2019 Masters Track Cycling World Championships with a gold in the sprint, a silver in the 500-meter time trial, and another world champion's rainbow jersey. Some people think this is unfair because I used to have more testosterone in my body once upon a time. They think this, even though my body hasn't been able to produce testosterone for 7 years, I transitioned in 2012. Okay, so this person competed in the 35 to 39 sprint category. Let's assume that Rachel McKinnon is 35 years old and transitioned in 2012. That meant that for 28 years of this human being's life, this person was receiving testosterone, which has impact on muscles and bone density and all sorts of aspects of physical development, because this person is male. Some people think it's unfair because they claim my body developed differently than many other women's bodies, but women come in all sorts of different shapes and sizes, and some elite cyclists are even bigger than me. Bigger than I. Bad editing. New York Times. But in any case, this person says, I'm 6 feet tall and weigh 190 pounds. This is a big dude, right? Dutch track cyclist Elise Litley, an Olympic gold medalist, is taller and heavier than me at 6'1" and 198 pounds. She towered over Christina Vogel, who at 5'3" and 136 pounds was the more accomplished track sprinter. Bigger isn't necessarily faster. Okay, so now you're just arguing for the obliteration of all categories, right? You're not just arguing in this article in favor of the obliteration of male and female. You're saying that because there are females who are bigger than you, therefore your male identity does not matter. Okay, so then we just should not have different male and female categories. If the categories don't exist, they shouldn't exist. Now, you should be able to have all the males race against all the females, and then presumably all the males would beat all the females, and then all the females wouldn't be in track anymore. Every elite athlete has competitive advantages. Some are physical. Consider the 2016 Olympic women's high jump final. The average height of the gold, silver, and bronze medalist was 6'2". Ruth Badia, at slightly over 6'3", won gold. The woman who tied for 10th, Anika McPherson, is 5'5". And we consider a 10-inch difference in height in an Olympic high jump final to be fair. Okay, now you're making the argument that maybe there should be height restrictions on these jump categories. That is a different argument. You're arguing that because there aren't some distinctions made in sports, there shouldn't be other distinctions, but you want to maintain the distinction between male and female even though you're male. This makes no sense, logically speaking. If you think I have an unfair competitive advantage, consider this. I lose most of my races. Again, the plea that you should be taken seriously in the female category, even though you are biologically male, because you're not that good at racing, is a horrible argument. It's a horrible, terrible argument. It really is. I mean, like, the argument is that you should obliterate all... this is like the argument that because Rachel Dolezal is not good at being a black person... Black people should not feel threatened by Rachel Dolezal identifying as a black person, and thus they should accept Rachel Dolezal as a black person because she's not very good at being a black person, even though she identifies as a black person. Well, no, the categories of black and white still exist, presumably. This is like saying that if you are a 20-year-old and you identify as a 50-year-old for purposes of competing in a 50-year-old athletic event, but you happen to be a particularly unathletic 20-year-old, that therefore, all 20-year-olds should be able to compete in the 50-year-old event. Because remember, the article isn't just about Rachel McKinnon. The article is about all transgender athletes being able to compete. So the fact that you stink at your job doesn't mean that all transgender athletes are members of the sex to which they believe they are members. That is illogical asininity. It's ridiculous. This was printed in the New York Times. We'll get to more of this in just 1 second. Illogic is the order of the day. First, let's talk about a great Christmas gift. So, if I didn't keep kosher, I would tell you what I would want for the holidays. That would be steak. Omaha Steaks. I mean, listen to this package that they are offering you. OmahaSteaks.com. Enter code Shapiro. You can get the favorite gift package. It's the gift anyone who loves steak will love for only $69.99. Order now, and you get 4 6-ounce bacon-wrapped filet mignons, 4 premium pork chops, 4 Omaha Steak burgers, 4 perfectly browned potatoes au gratin, 4 made-from-scratch caramel apple tartlets, an Omaha Steaks signature seasoning packet. Plus, just for my listeners, you get a free 6-piece cutlery set and cutting board. I mean, if you got that package in the mail, any of you dudes, I mean, that is a hell of a package. Omaha Steaks is a fifth-generation, family-owned company with over 100 years of expertise in delivering perfectly aged beef, hand-cut by master butchers in the heartland of America. Again, order now, you get the favorite gift package, plus the free 6-piece cutlery set and cutting board for just $69.99. Just head on over to OmahaSteaks.com, type Shapiro in the search bar. Don't wait, the offer ends soon. Order that favorite gift package today at OmahaSteaks.com. Remember, type Shapiro in the search bar for that special deal. That is a great gift. Okay, so, this column continues in the New York Times. They say, the Union Cycliste International currently follows the International Olympic Committee's policies on gender. Trans people have been welcome in the Olympics since the IOC first adopted a trans inclusion policy in 2003. The IOC updated their policy in 2015 to make it possible for trans people to compete without genital surgery. Since the 2004 Athens Olympics, there have been over 54,000 Olympians. Not one of them has been openly trans. There also weren't any cases of men pretending to be trans women. Well, I mean, weren't there cases in the 1980s in which people were taking hormone injections, like East German female athletes? And there's the famous case of the female sprinter who turned out to be intersex, I believe. That is an advantage. Trans women are women. We are female. No, again, you're not. You don't have a category of female to which you can claim membership. If it's just a set of gender characteristics, then you are operating off the basis of antiquated social constructs. And if you are talking about biology, you ain't. No openly trans woman has set an open elite world record in any sport. Yes, that is just because male athletes are not allowed to compete in female sports. The fact that you identify as a female does not change the fact that you are a male athlete. And just because you are not as competent as other male athletes does not mean that you are a female athlete. In fact, that's kind of sexist, right? If the idea is that men who are less competent can compete with the females, you know, aren't you making some assumptions there? It is a human right to be able to compete, says Rachel McKinnon. I will continue to show up. I hope you'll consider cheering. No. No. I mean, the answer is no. And females in these categories should not be cheering either, because there is no limiting principle. You can feel bad for Rachel McKinnon. She's a person who's obviously suffering with something. I mean, I'm glad for Rachel McKinnon that Rachel McKinnon feels good about himself, but Rachel McKinnon is a man competing with females. That is the biological fact of the situation. And you see the media just confusing all of this purposefully. right, lying about all of this purposefully, and they do so in terms of law as well. There's a long article in the New York Times today titled, Trump's Rollback of Transgender Rights Extends Through Entire Government. What exactly are those rollbacks? Well, apparently there was a guy named Nicholas Talbot, a guy who's actually a woman, because Nicholas Talbot is a biological woman who believes that he is a man, that she is a man. Talbot joined ROTC at Kent State University in Ohio and was told in May that because of President Trump's transgender ban in the military, he would no longer be eligible for placement as an Army officer. He could continue participating in ROTC, but the benefits he joined for, health insurance and student loan forgiveness, were no longer available to him. Well, that's because this would be a pre-existing condition, presumably, that costs an awful lot of money to treat. And if you're looking for hormone treatments or surgery paid for by the U.S. government, that's going to be a lot more expensive. Guess what? The U.S. government gets to choose whether you are an asset to the military. You do not have a quote-unquote right to join the military. If you are out of shape, you can't join the military. If you have a mental condition, you're not allowed to join the military. There are actual restrictions on joining the military. But apparently this is all very, very bad. Very bad. The Trump administration has also promulgated regulations that would allow people who refuse to treat transgender patients if it clashes with their beliefs. And a U.S. district judge struck that down. So now they're going to force you to treat a male patient as a female if the male patient declares himself female, which, again, is absolutely ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. But the way that the New York Times describes this is truly telling. They say the Education Department has rescinded Obama-era rules that allowed transgender students to use bathrooms of their choice. Well, no, it didn't just allow transgender students to use bathrooms of their choice. It subjected all non-transgender students to people of the opposite sex in their bathrooms. That is what that is. Or participate in sports corresponding with their gender identity. Right, because again, we female sports are for females. So the Defense Department has established restrictions on transgender troops that largely prohibit them from transitioning while in uniform because you have added an additional cost to membership in the military. That is what is going on here. And while the DHS's proposed conscience rule regarding healthcare workers was just rejected by its third court, another proposal from the department would replace Obama-era safeguards that ban discrimination against transgender medical patients and health insurance customers under the Affordable Care Act. Okay, again, all of these are government regulations that add additional cost. Additional cost. And apparently, there was a school in Maryland that was kicked out of a state voucher program because they had a policy that said God immutably bestows gender upon each person at birth as male or female to reflect his image. And the Education Department under Obama tried to kick this school out of the voucher program for saying that male and female are categories that exist. But Trump standing up to that is apparently horrifying and terrible. It's just, I'm sorry, obliterating categories. This does not mean you don't treat people with sympathy, but obliterating categories and pretending that obliteration does not come with both social and financial cost is ridiculous. But that's what the media are pushing right now. Alrighty, coming up, I'm going to tell you there's an interesting column by Camille Paglia on the death of the Hollywood sex symbol. And she sort of implicitly acknowledges that the death of traditional values is the death of sexiness. We'll talk about that in just one second. First, let's talk about the fact that there are a lot of people who are after your data. Lots and lots of people who are after your data. Why? Well, if they grab your credit card, and they can make a lot of money off of that, and if they grab your other data, just kind of normal data from your internet use, they can sell that to various companies and monetize it. Well, your data is your data. Why shouldn't you control it? Use ExpressVPN. I've been talking about ExpressVPN on my show for a long time now. You already understand why encrypting your network data is important. Some of you still have not acted. Why? Well, maybe you think that this doesn't affect you. And most of the time it doesn't. But what about that one time it does? Or you leave your front door unlocked every night? Most of the time it'll be fine. That one time, it ain't going to be fine. This is why you ought to have ExpressVPN. You click one button on your computer or smartphone, and you are protected. So, my only question is, what exactly are you waiting for? Visit my special link right now at expressvpn.com/Ben. Get an extra 3 months of ExpressVPN for free. Protect your internet today with the VPN I trust to keep my data safe. Head on over to expressvpn.com/Ben to get started again. That's expressvpn.com/Ben to get started right now. Check out my friends at expressvpn.com and use that /Ben to get the special deal. Alrighty, coming up, Camille Paglia has a piece today about the death of the Hollywood sex symbol, in which she implicitly acknowledges that the death of traditional sexual standards has been the death of sexiness. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
If you are behind on your bills, then this message is for you. How would you like to have a large portion of your credit card debt or medical bills forgiven? National Credit Card Relief would like to give you free information on a proven debt forgiveness program. It's not bankruptcy, it's not consolidation. This special program actually wipes clean the portion of your debt that is forgiven. Call for your free forgiveness information now. 800-291-6670. That's 800-291-6670. Don't wait. Call 800-291-6670. Not available in North Dakota.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, U.S. Tax Shield can help you take back control. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Our team of tax attorneys can stop collections and get you protected. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the BBB, so call 800-466-9625. U.S. Tax Shield, 800-466-9625.
Make a healthy choice about the air you breathe. Start with the Wave Smart Ventilation Unit to expel the polluted damp air from your basement and crawl space. Then add upstairs a hospital-grade 6-stage air purifier which includes a HEPA filter and a powerful dual UV system. Stop worrying about mold, odors, radon, carbon monoxide, chemicals, and hundreds of other pollutants that are trapped in your home. Visit dryhome123.com and learn how to make your home healthier and fresher all year round. That's dryhome123.com.
Are your tax problems keeping you up at night? Hi, Tax Owl here from the Coast One Tax Group. If you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS or state in back taxes, take 10 minutes and call Coast One Tax Group. It could save you 93% or more. Coast One Tax Group helps people all across America save big amounts of money. David from California saved $48,000 on back taxes. James and Lisa from Dallas saved $102,000. Call Coast One Tax Group now at 888-337-6949. A 10-minute call could save 93% or more. So who are you going to call? Coast One Tax Group, that's who. See how much you can save. The consultation is always free. What are you who waiting for? Relieve your tax stress today. Call Coast One Tax Group at 888-337-6949. That's 888-337-6949.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. Camille Paglia is a feminist scholar and theorist, and she writes a lot about Hollywood. And she has a piece in the Hollywood Reporter today called The Death of the Hollywood Sex Symbol, all about why it is that we don't have Hollywood sex symbols anymore. And she asks, who killed the sex symbol? What's funny about the piece is that she basically suggests, and it is correct, that the death of traditional sexual morality killed the sex symbol. Why? Because sex symbols were transgressive. They were also indicative of a belief in an innate female biology and an innate female sexiness that was not malleable and that was mysterious and that was out there in the world, that was real. And that was aspirational, right? All of that stuff has been ripped away by the cultural left. And Camille Paglia basically acknowledges that. She says, it's no mystery that in the era of Me Too, the rules of combat have changed on the sexual battlefield. Women will no longer tolerate condescending or degrading treatment that was once business as usual in the workplace or dating arena. But in this long overdue pushback against sexual coercion and exploitation, has something valuable been lost? She points out that the sex symbol was arguably Hollywood's most brilliant artifact, propelling the young movie industry to world impact. She says, protests about immoral content of movies began even before World War I and would lead to Hollywood's adoption in 1930 of the notorious Hays Code, which plagued progressive screenwriters and directors for decades. In the late 1960s, as studio power waned, a new sexual realism arrived from post-war European art films whose chilly atmospherics can be felt in Jane Fonda's brilliant performance as crisply efficient prostitute in Clute, 1971. Now, she then goes back, and this is the part that's funny. She goes back and she discusses the sex symbols of Hollywood. All of them are from exactly that Hays Code era. She says, Major male sex symbols like Clark Gable, Cary Grant, Sidney Poitier have a mesmerizing natural authority on screen, a supernormal power of personality and density of being that transcend their roles. The female sex symbol commands emotional or psychological space. Her sensual beauty is an alluring mirage, hypnotizing and sometimes paralyzing. And then she cites Jean Harlow, she cites Lena Horne, all of these people, Lana Turner, Rita Hayworth, all of these are from the Hays Code. In other words, the time in America where people took traditional sexual morality seriously because they recognized the power of sexuality, which is why human beings put limits on their sexual appetites, because of the power of it, that's what made things sexy. Acknowledging the power is what makes things sexy. In today's world, sex has no power because it's basically become another random bodily function like farting or eating. And then we wonder why there's no such thing as the sex symbol. Is there such a thing as the eating symbol? The answer is no. So there are no more sex symbols. All right, coming up, we'll jump into the mailbag.
Hear us streaming 24/7 at KCNR1460.com.
Hi, this is Linda Bott, and let me tell you about our North State Now show on Thursday nights at 6 p.m. right here on KCNR. The first Thursday of the month will be yours truly, covering arts and entertainment and all kinds of fun stuff. The second Thursday will be Michelle Slade, highlighting and interviewing North State heroes. The third Thursday is James Masada and Rhonda Alvey, bringing you all things with Enjoy the Magazine and Enjoy the Store. And the fourth Thursday from Shasta Regional Medical Center is Dr. Orna Gill, covering all things women's health. The title sponsor for North State Now is the Reading Civic Auditorium. Also brought to you by the Black Bear Diner, Shasta Regional Medical Center, and Carlene's Restaurant and Bar, located at 1100 Center Street. That's North State Now, right here on KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. 6 p.m., North State Now.
As gun laws continue to tighten up across the country, Bassiani Arms will continue to provide our community with quality firearms, hard-to-find ammo, off-list fully built AR lower receivers, and the absolute best customer service. Get out of the grab-and-go box stores and come talk to a knowledgeable firearm specialist. The good guys at Bassiani Arms are real gun enthusiasts, with two full-time gunsmiths on hand 5 days a week. Right now, Bassiani Arms is stocked up on hard-to-find ammo, 30-30, 38 Special, and 44 Magnum. More people than ever are exercising their rights to conceal and carry a firearm. Seth Stoke has over 20 years' experience in firearms and offers CCW classes, women-only CCW classes, and hunter education. Bassiani Arms has everything you need for firearms, and they appreciate you shopping local. Bassiani Arms, on the corner of Larkspur Lane and Wall Street in Reading. Join the revolution.
Hi, this is Chuck Kinney of Shasta Gas Propane. Our company motto is, our customers are warm friends. We are demonstrating our commitment to this motto by helping those in our area that lost their homes in the car fire and are moving onto their property in an RV during the rebuilding process. We can hook up a 120-gallon propane tank to your RV gas system and deliver gas to your property so you won't have to disconnect your 7-gallon cylinder and take it somewhere to get it filled, then reconnect it and relight your pilots. We will deliver and connect the tank at no charge, then discount the price of the propane. Give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793. We want to help you during this stressful time.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Collision. She had minor damage to her rear bumper. I wrote her an estimate. Later, I received a call. The lady responsible for the damage wanted to pay for the repairs out of pocket. Her insurance agent told her a claim would raise her rates for years. With our experience in the claim process, I explained to her most insurance companies would forgive a claim if the cost was below a minimum amount. I suggested she contact her insurance agent and have them review her policy. She called back very excited. It appeared her policy did extend forgiveness. They would pay for the repairs, and she wouldn't be charged with a claim or have to pay a deductible. The accident would not cost her a thing. She was very pleased. Good thing the vehicle owner came to the right place for repairs. We all pay a lot for insurance. Choosing Coachmaster will ensure you get the most for your money. Let this experience work for you. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutoBody.com.
Purpose-driven banking. That's the vision behind the founding of Five Star Bank in 1999. Services inspired by partnership and defined by shared vision and goals. Five Star Bank, a champion of local economic development and community stewardship. Your success is their success. Now that's smart people doing good business. In a world that's both more connected and more isolated by high tech, Five Star Bank brings you a personal touch to small business banking, cash management, and online services. Five Star Bank, consistently rated among the very best by industry associations, rating agencies, and of course, customers and partners just like you. Your partner in success is Five Star Bank. FiveStarBank.com. Visit your local branch at 358 Hartnell in Reading. Progressive, professional, personal. That's Five Star Bank. Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
While serving in Iraq, Sergeant Jason Nielsen suffered a paralyzing injury. Paralyzed Veterans of America's service officers are trained to help injured veterans get all the benefits they've earned. To help paralyzed veterans, visit pva.org.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So, it's time for the mailbag. It's a Friday, so let's jump right in. Peter says, I've been thinking about this question for a while now and wanted your thoughts on what I like to refer to as the blame game in politics, where every political move, right or left, seemingly more on the right nowadays, seems to be predicated on the notion that you've gotten burned in the past to explain your behavior today. Depending on what is going on in the climate, they'll dig up whatever history they need to make a point. I often read an article something to the effect of, the other side wonders why we have a bitter taste in our mouths from both sides of the political spectrum. Being a conservative myself, I tend to gravitate to one side, but it has always raised the question, is it possible to get out of this climate where everyone is 5 years old, pointing and screaming they hit me first? Do you see this idea as pervasive in today's debate and rhetoric? Has it always been that way? Is there any way to go about correcting it? Well, there's no question we live in a reactionary time. And I think that the best way to go about avoiding being a reactionary is to acknowledge that, yes, you can be justified in your feelings, but that does not justify your actions. It does not justify you doing the bad thing. So in other words, yes, you're angry that the left cheat. That doesn't mean that you also get to cheat. Yes, you're angry that the left push radical, garbage notions about American philosophy. But that does not mean that you get to push similarly radical notions. Now, you see this very often in terms of the hijacking of government power. So one of the big arguments right now on the right is the argument between sort of the populists in economics and the laissez-faire in economics. And on the right, there are people who say, well, the left has hijacked the means of government and they've used them to their advantage. Why shouldn't we do the same? Why shouldn't we use the government to benefit our political coterie of voters in specific Rust Belt swing states where manufacturing has been destroyed? Why don't we subsidize? Why don't we regulate? Why don't we do all of these things? After all, the left did it for their friends. And the answer is because that's not moral. Free markets are a recognition that you have individual moral rights against the government, that you own the alienability of your own labor. You get to alienate your labor as you see fit, that you get to participate in the economic transactions that you deem worthy. The government doesn't get to step between you and somebody else in a consensual exchange of goods and services. And you don't know better than the market does. Simply recognizing that the left does bad with government does not mean that you get to do something different with the same government. And there's this, with regard to the size and scope of government, there is this sort of Boromir view of the ring in Lord of the Rings. If you remember the first Lord of the Rings book or the movie, you'll remember that Boromir is a human character who gets a hold of the Ring of Power. And the Ring of Power is, of course, it gives you invisibility, it gives you incredible strength, but it also seduces you into the belief that your own power is capable of dominating others. And so Boromir figures, okay, well, you've got Sauron, he's back, and he's going to attack the world of mankind. Now I've got the ring, and I can use it to defend the world of mankind. The problem is that in using the power, you become part of the problem. And I think the only way to acknowledge that we need to move forward together as a country is to acknowledge that, yes, wrongs of the past did occur, wrongs of the present occur. But and you're allowed to know that. You're allowed to feel that. That's okay. But that does not mean that you get to engage in precisely the same kind of behavior simply because you feel bad about it. It's one thing to do it as a sort of mutually assured destruction tactic. It's another thing to do it as a matter of principle. Jerry says, is there a conservative argument that a husband should take his wife's name after marriage? I understand that marriage consists of two individuals making a commitment to each other, but my girlfriend made me question why it is that a wife traditionally takes the husband's last name. I couldn't come up with a good answer. What is your take on this? Also, what do you think of married couples who have hyphenated last names? Now, I'm a fan of the wife taking their husband's last name. The reason being, because marriage is reliant on the idea that men and women are different. It's the reason why I think traditional marriage is not the same thing as same-sex marriage. Men and women are inherently different. And traditionally, that means that the man's role has been to protect and defend the family, and the woman's role has been to nurture. Now, there's crossover there, right? The woman also has to protect and defend. The man also has to nurture. But if you're going to break it down in sort of the most basic rudimentary terms, then man's job is to protect his family and provide for that family. And the woman's job is to make sure that she's nurturing the kids, making a home. That doesn't mean that you can't have some flexibility there. Again, my wife was out working as a doctor. I was spending a lot of time at home, a lot more time at home than she was for years on end. But because of that, taking the man's name is traditionally seen as a woman who is more likely to want to exist in the bosom of her own family, really, because women tend to be more tied to family than men are. Men tend to be just by nature a little bit more forward-forth, independent, risk-seeking. Risk-seeking would probably be the best descriptor of that. And so joining in your husband within that risk is an acknowledgement of traditional sex roles, which I think, frankly, is good. But it's also an acknowledgement that you and your husband together are going to go on an adventure. And it tends to be the man who is risk-seeking. Now, listen, you can do whatever you want. It's a free country. I'm not saying you have to take your husband's name or that you can't do the joint name thing. But I always thought that it was a sign of respect to the man for the woman to take her husband's name. And I think that respect is the key. You want to have a successful marriage? I get this question a lot. I've been married for almost 12 years. Thank God I have a wonderful marriage. To me, the key to a successful marriage is twofold. One, a man above all really requires respect from his spouse. That does not mean she has to listen to everything he says or obey everything he says or he's the master of the house in every particular sense. But she has to respect her husband. Women who don't respect their husband, that's the end of the marriage. It's over. And men have to love, cherish, and honor their wife. Right? I think there is a difference in that. Obviously, you have to respect the wishes of your wife. But what a man's job is to do is to protect the sanctity of his house and his household. And a woman's job is to nourish and create the emotional fulfillment that exists in the household. Again, there's crossover, but those roles do exist, and that's where the naming construct comes from. I think it's quite beautiful, honestly. By the way, my wife felt the same way. When we got married, we went to the Social Security office, and my wife, her parents are very proud of their family name. They have this kind of historic Jewish name that goes back to Spain and Morocco and all of this. And they're very proud of it. Like, they have family trees around the house. And they really wanted my wife to keep her name as her middle name. And I said, I don't really care. If you want to do that, you can totally do that. And we went to the Social Security office. And as we were about to sign the papers, she was about to make her maiden name her middle name. She said, you know what? I don't really feel the need to do this. After all, we're a unit. And your last name is my last name. And we're together on this. And I thought that was quite beautiful. I was quite honored by it. I thought it was pretty amazing. Okay, we'll get to more from the mailbag in just one second. First, let us talk about how you can beautify your home, not just emotionally, but physically. How? Well, you can make those window coverings better. First of all, those things are ugly. Go to Blinds.com right now and upgrade your window coverings. When I needed new blinds, there was only one place I'd go, Blinds.com, because I'm not going to spend all Sunday shopping for blinds. Instead, Blinds.com makes it incredibly easy, which is why they've already covered 15 million windows, and they have 30,000 five-star customer reviews. Every order gets free samples, free shipping, free online design consultation. You send them pictures of your home. They send back custom recommendations from a professional for what will work with your color scheme, furniture, and specific rooms. They'll even send you free samples to make sure that everything looks as good in person as it does online, and every order gets free shipping as well. Here's the best part. If you accidentally mismeasure or you pick the wrong color, if you screw it up, Blinds.com will remake your blinds for free. They've really made it easy for you, so there's no excuse to leave up those mangled, horrific blinds. For a limited time, my listeners get $20 off at Blinds.com when you use promo code Ben. That's Blinds.com, promo code Ben for $20 off. Faux wood blinds, cellular shades, roller shades, and more. Blinds.com, promo code Ben. Rules and restrictions do indeed apply. Okay, back to the mailbag. Terry says, how do you feel about the death penalty? I find myself struggling with being pro-life and pro-death penalty. The Bible says an eye for an eye, but it also says that thou shalt not kill. Okay, you're citing two of the wrong verses. So it's thou shalt not murder, right? The actual language in Hebrew is lo tirtzach. The word for kill is taharog. So it's actually, thou shalt not murder. You're allowed to kill in self-defense, for example. An eye for an eye in the Bible does not refer to the idea that if you take my eye, I take yours. It means monetary value. This has long been Jewish tradition going back thousands of years. The actual pasuk, the actual verse that you're looking for, is if man sheds blood, by man shall his blood be shed, right? That's actually the language of the Bible you're looking for. For myself, I'd kill anyone who killed one of my children, but I feel hypocritical saying I'm against the death penalty. Well, you can say that you believe that the application of the death penalty has been unfair in the United States and that it's inappropriate. I think that there's an argument to be made for that, that waiting for 20 years on death row is ridiculous. Or you think the evidentiary standards aren't high enough. But that's always an argument to me that's proved too much. Because if you believe that people, you know, shouldn't be punished by the law because the evidentiary standards aren't high enough, then I guess nobody should go to jail. I guess the argument countervailing that would be, well, yeah, but if you go to jail, we can at least fix it because you're not dead. The truth is that in biblical law, the only way that you could actually give somebody the death penalty, you know, it sounds in the Bible like everybody gets the death penalty for everything. That is not the way it works according to Jewish law and according to early Christian law, because early Christian law was Jewish law and this sort of stuff. Jewish law requires two witnesses to an event. The two witnesses have to warn the person who's about to commit the murder that if he commits the murder, he is going to get the death penalty. And this person must then acknowledge that and go ahead and do it. So in other words, there's no doubt whatsoever, right? You have two eyewitnesses who are specifically testifying that they warned the guy beforehand. If they didn't warn the guy beforehand, then he is not punished with the death penalty. So the standards in the Bible were extremely high for the application of the death penalty. I think that even if you're a Bible believer and you believe in the death penalty generally, you could certainly make the case that the standards for American justice are not as high as the standards for the Bible, so we can't apply it that way. I think that's actually a fairly good argument. On the other hand, there are certain people who certainly deserve to die, and I mean, there's a case that's going through the court system right now where a guy literally took gasoline, poured it on his girlfriend, and set her on fire. It seems to me that guy has forfeited his right to life at this point. Alrighty, we'll get to more of this in just 1 second. First, let's talk about the earphones you're using to listen to this show. Are you using the old antiquated earbuds with the wires and the stems? Are you using the ones that fit over your ears? Yeah, it ain't any good. What you need is a great pair of wireless earbuds from Raycon. Raycon has just released their best model yet, the E25s. They really are terrific. They have 6 hours of playtime, seamless Bluetooth pairing, more bass, a more compact design that gives you a nice noise-isolating fit. Raycon's wireless earbuds are incredibly comfortable. They are perfect for on-the-go listening and for taking phone calls. Unlike some of your other wireless options, Raycon earbuds are stylish and discreet. There are no dangling wires, no stems. Also, they have a variety of fits, so you can put it in your ear no matter how your ear is shaped. Get 15% off your order at buyraycon.com/ben. That's buyraycon.com/ben. For 15% off Raycon wireless earbuds, they are a lot less expensive than other options on the market, and they sound great. Buyraycon.com/Ben, buyraycon.com/Ben. Go check them out right now. Again, that is buyraycon.com/Ben for 15% off those Raycon wireless earbuds. Buyraycon.com/Ben. Okay, one more quick question. Anastasia says, any thoughts on the UK general election next week? Do you think Boris Johnson will be able to win a majority? I don't know that he'll be able to win a majority. He's certainly going to be the next prime minister. I don't think that Jeremy Corbyn is going to win, although it scares the living hell out of me that there are so many young people in Britain who think that Jeremy Corbyn is an option. He is AOC. He's AOC, except more openly anti-Semitic. It's insane that this guy is a mainstream political contender in the UK and doesn't speak well for the future of Western civilization in general. Okay, in just a moment, we're going to be joined by Representative Chip Roy of Texas. He's going to be stopping by to explain a piece of legislation he is sponsoring to label drug cartels in Mexico foreign terrorist organizations. We'll explain why that matters coming up. So make sure that you stick around. We will indeed be right back. You are listening to The Ben Shapiro Show.
Are you looking for senior care for your mom or dad but don't know where to start? Hi, I'm Jen London with A Place for Mom. Nobody knows your parent or loved one better than you, and nobody knows senior living better than the experts at A Place for Mom. It's a free service, and we've helped thousands of families find the right place for their mom or dad. There's a place for answers, A Place for Mom. Call today.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-391-1755. That's 1-800-391-1755.
Make a healthy choice about the air you breathe. Start with the Wave Smart Ventilation Unit to expel the polluted damp air from your basement and crawl space. Then add upstairs a hospital-grade 6-stage air purifier, which includes a HEPA filter and a powerful dual UV system. Stop worrying about mold, odors, radon, carbon monoxide, chemicals, and hundreds of other pollutants that are trapped in your home. Visit dryhome123.com and learn how to make your home healthier and fresher all year round. That's dryhome123.com.
If you have hard water, the limescale not only leaves white spots, it clogs pipes and breaks down appliances, costing you hundreds of dollars in energy and wear. Eliminate limescale and other water issues like brown staining, bad odors, and lead with HydroCare water products available from Wave Home Solutions. Wave's affordable systems don't use salts or chemicals. You'll love the way your water tastes, smells, and looks. Satisfaction guaranteed. For more information, go to WaveBestWater.com. That's WaveBestWater.com.
If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes, you need a new start. Our New Start program will stop collection efforts, remove any liens the IRS has in place, and help you reduce your back taxes by as much as 80%. That's right, 80%. Call 1-800-312-9970. Let the professionals at Coast One Financial Group fight to get you the new start you deserve. If you owe at least $10,000 to the IRS and need a new start on your back taxes, call 1-800-312-9970.
If you are behind on your bills, then this message is for you. How would you like to have a large portion of your credit card debt or medical bills forgiven? National Credit Card Relief would like to give you free information on a proven debt forgiveness program. It's not bankruptcy. It's not consolidation. This special program actually wipes clean the portion of your debt that is forgiven. Call for your free forgiveness information now.
800-291-6670. That's 800-291-6670. Don't wait. Call 800-291-6670. Not available in North Dakota.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, U.S. Tax Shield can help you take back control. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Our team of tax attorneys can stop collections and get you protected. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the BBB, so call 800-466-9625. U.S. Tax Shield, 800-466-9625.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. Joining us on the line is Representative Chip Roy. Representative Roy represents the 21st District of Texas and a member of the Committee on Oversight and Reform. He wrote the original legislation in March to help designate certain Mexican drug cartels foreign terrorist organizations. Representative Roy, thanks so much for joining the show.
Hey, Ben, how are you? Thanks for having me on.
Hey, doing pretty well. So why don't we start with what exactly President Trump has done in the past few months. He said he was considering labeling organized crime units as foreign terrorist organizations, and now obviously he has moved toward doing all of that. What do you think is the problem? Why does it matter, first of all, why whether we actually designate these drug cartels as foreign terrorist organizations?
Well, first of all, the president is absolutely right, and he was right back in the spring when he first raised the issue. Advice from his staff, but also because Congressman Mark Green and myself had introduced legislation back in March to designate these specific cartels, not all cartels, but very specific cartels. There were no facts in the Gulf Cartel, the Cartel del Noreste of Los Zetas, and that operate in Nuevo Laredo. They're warring along the Texas-Mexico border. It's important to designate them as terrorists organizations because it gives us far greater tools to go after them, such as materials, providing material support to terrorists. You can go after those, stopping dollars from flowing and going after their financial assets, preventing them from moving around easily, migrating to the United States. And frankly, it just ups the ante in terms of our national focus on taking them out. And let's be honest, the cartels, as you know and your listeners know, have operational control of our border, particularly in the South Texas region along the Rio Grande Valley. And we've got unbelievable stories that you have been talking about, and thank you for doing that. We've got the murders of American citizens. We've got 27 Mexicans being tied into a bar and locked in with the door shut and lit on fire. We have Mexican police getting targeted and killed, 13 at once recently, politicians getting killed. It is time to recognize them as the terrorist organizations they are and pushing these dangerous narcotics into our country.
So this seems very natural, Representative Roy. We're talking with Chip Roy of the 21st District of Texas. This seems obvious and natural. What exactly is the resistance? Why hasn't Congress pursued this before? Why didn't President Obama do this? Like, these are obviously foreign terrorist organizations. So what exactly is the holdup?
Well, I think there you have in Washington, as we often have with some of these issues, is a lot of hand-wringing and a lot of overthink. You got people who are going around saying that they think that if we designate these cartels as terrorists, that somehow that will mean we can't walk and chew gum at the same time and target jihadi terrorist organizations. Of course we can. There's something like, what, 800 entities that are designated as terrorist organizations around the world. We can do this. Number two, we have people who believe that it will somehow undermine our return to Mexico policy and ability to return people who come here and leave them in Mexico while they're being adjudicated. Well, that's simply just not the case. There's plenty of room in Mexico, as our friend Brandon Darby, as you know from your time at in Breitbart, you know Brandon well. Brandon writes about this. We can return people deep into Mexico or anywhere along the border that isn't as dangerous as, say, Reynosa, and for places to stay like Piedras Negras and other places. And also, these areas along the border are already level four states designated by the State Department. This is a bunch of hand-wringers in Washington trying to come up with excuses not to designate them as terrorists so that we can actually be responsible now for taking them out. And that's what we should do, because they are harming our kids. They're harming our communities. Fentanyl, heroin, cocaine pouring into our communities. They're profiting $100 million a week in Reynosa, moving human beings through McAllen for profit. This is absolutely asinine. And then some people say, well, these aren't terrorist organizations because it's just about money. No, they are political organizations. They have their thumb on the police and the political leaders in Mexico, but also politicians in America and the Rio Grande Valley who fear retribution from cartels. Enough. Let's go target them, take them out, and increase free trade and open flow of goods and services to Mexico by having a secure border with a wall and no cartels running it.
So moving forward on Mexican policy, is it going to be enough to designate these organizations foreign terrorist organizations? How exactly can we work with the government of Mexico, which has been reticent in the past, has been rife with corruption and relations with drug cartels for decades at this point? What should American policy on Mexico look like more generally, not just in terms of designating these specific organizations as foreign terrorist organizations?
Well, you're absolutely right. We have to go much further than just the cartel designation. We need to build the wall, and we need to do that in as many places as we can, as fast as we can. We need to fix the policies, all of which can be fixed on one piece of paper, such as the catch-and-release policies that are the problem with the Flores decision, the TVPRA issue where you can take unaccompanied children and return them home safely to countries, fix asylum. And we need to give the resources necessary to Border Patrol and to ICE to do their job instead of the Democrats who are jamming them up and not providing the resources they need. These are the things we could do quickly and easily in addition to designating the cartels. And then with respect to Mexico, hold them accountable. Let's make Mexico do their job. And let's tell them that this is how we're going to handle our policies. We're going to make sure that they're going to work with us and do it. And frankly, the president's been doing that, and they've been having to step up. Because even though they've been reticent in the past, the president, in pushing on them, is forcing them to the table to have to actually deal with working with us on return to Mexico. They need us. And by the way, we should get the USMCA passed, even though it's got provisions in it that I'm not always in love with. It has important provisions in it that we should move, that Democrats are jamming, so that we can get a truly free flow of goods and services going, so that Mexico continues to be our partner on this and work with us rather than starting to team up with China or other places around the world. These are all things we could do. We just need to act. We can get this all cleaned up in a matter of weeks if Democrats weren't objecting and if weak spineless Republicans weren't running around clamoring for cheap labor instead of border security.
Representative Roy, while I have you on the phone, I want to ask you about the status of this impeachment move by the Democrats. It appears that they don't actually have any of the goods they need in order to make any sort of criminal case against the president. It seems as though they're ramming it through because they feel like they have to ram it through for their base at this point. How do you expect this to go? What do you think the timeline looks like on impeachment moving forward?
Well, I'll jump into that. I do want to say one thing, just because today I was on the floor of the House, and I want to make a point that's important, is that today is the two-year anniversary of the president announcing that we would have the embassy in Jerusalem. He actually executed on that. I think it's important because we just voted on the floor on a ridiculous resolution by Democrats, which would interfere with Israel and interfere with their right to define themselves and to define how they want to have a peace process with the Palestinians, rather than having a bunch of liberal Democrats, progressive deciding it. And it's relevant here to your point about impeachment. This is what the Democrats are doing. They're wasting the time of the American people. They're passing ridiculous resolutions in their progressive agenda like they did this morning that we opposed. And they are doing this, and they're frankly going after the president because they don't have an agenda that the American people want. And so I think this is going to be the continuation of the politically driven attack on the president. This has been this way from the beginning, whether you're looking at the whistleblower's lawyer, early in the process, basically saying that this they were going to try to target the president and all of this in terms of a coup. You can go back to the very beginning, and you do this all the time, about how this is a politicized process. Nancy Pelosi went to a video, or, you know, went to a microphone yesterday in front of the press. Why? Because they're losing. She feels like she's got to do something to save this from the total and complete failure of the Schiff show. And we're going to see this unfold over the next week on a partisan basis, sadly. And I think people will understand that this is a politically driven process designed specifically to try to take down the president based on conversations with foreign leaders, which it was a reasonable conversation to have in trying to ensure that
Tobacco and Brew, located at 2143 Hilltop Drive, has been an integral part of our community for over 40 years. They have supported the veterans, law enforcement, fire and disaster survivors throughout this whole time. Tobacco and Brew has expanded their walk-in humidor and brought to the North State new lines of fine cigars, pipes, and tobacco products. Additionally, they are offering a pipe bar to try out new tobacco for taste and aroma. Tobacco and Brew is your one-stop shop for any tobacco product and accessories to include lighters, humidors, pouches, and more. Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive.
I expected to be a lot easier.
I didn't know what step to take next.
I was transitioning from the military. I was a vehicle gunner.
An avionics specialist.
I missed my unit, my family.
Playing with my daughter, I'd felt like a stranger.
I didn't have a clear sense of what to do next.
And then I thought, if I'm going through this, other veterans have gone through it too, right?
So I reached out, and I saw that I wasn't alone.
Go to MakeTheConnection.net to learn how other veterans have overcome the challenges of transitioning out of the military.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Gordon Griffin. The White House won't participate in the next impeachment hearing. Here's correspondent Mike Gracia.
The White House indicates it will not participate in the next impeachment hearing scheduled for Monday. A letter from White House counsel Pat Cipollone addressed to Representative Gerald Nadler, the Democratic chairman of the Judiciary Committee, did not expressly state the White House's refusal to participate. But Cipollone wrote that House Democrats are wasting America's time with what he termed a charade. The Judiciary Committee had given the White House until Friday evening to declare whether or not it intended to have legal representation at a hearing scheduled for Monday morning. Mike Gracia, Washington.
Boeing has more woes, this time from the FAA.
Boeing faces a possible fine of nearly $4 million after safety regulators say the company installed faulty parts on the wings of some Boeing 737 jets. The Federal Aviation Administration says suppliers told Boeing about a problem with the components, also known as slat tracks. The parts sit at the front edge of a plane's wings and guide the movement of panels called slats, which help give planes more lift during takeoffs and landings. The FAA says the slat tracks were weakened during a process in which they were coated with cadmium and titanium and became too brittle to meet safety standards. Boeing says all the affected planes in use have been inspected and fixed. Keith Peters reporting.
The government of Saudi Arabia has condemned a fatal shooting by a Saudi aviation student at Naval Air Station Pensacola in Florida. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis says that he talked with President Trump about the shooting suspect being a Saudi military student. The Saudi student opened fire in a classroom, killing three people before a sheriff's deputy fatally shot him. 12 people were hurt in the attack, including the two sheriff's deputies who were the first to respond. U.S. officials are investigating Friday's attack for possible links to terrorism. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Sebastian Gorka here. Maybe you've been hearing about Relief Factor, the 100% drug-free supplement that helps a person's body deal with inflammation and pain. You've heard all the wonderful testimonials. Well, I have my own testimonial. For many years, my lower back pain was becoming a serious problem. The short story is, I finally gave it a try, and now I'm out of pain too. So if you're in pain, you can order the 3-week quick start for just $19.95. Go to relieffactor.com.
Hi, I'm Jay Farner, CEO of Quicken Loans. 30% of Americans who are planning home improvements of $5,000 or more will pay for those renovations with a high-interest credit card. That may not be a great idea. A better idea may be to take cash out of your home with a Quicken Loans 30-year fixed-rate mortgage. The rate today on our 30-year fixed-rate mortgage is 3.99%, APR 4.18%. Call us today at 800-QUICKEN or go to rocketmortgage.com.
Rate subject to change. Pay 1.375% fee to receive this discounted rate. Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. License in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030.
The liberal dark money group Demand Justice, known for media campaigns against Trump nominees, is hoping to influence a Senate confirmation votes next week. Here's Capitol Hill correspondent Bob Agnew.
The latest ads target several GOP senators up for re-election next year, demanding they vote against the confirmation of Lawrence Van Dyke to the 9th U.S. Circuit. That's over his staunch support for the Second Amendment. The ads calling Van Dyke an NRA mouthpiece, running on Instagram and Facebook. Nathan Brand with the National Republican Senatorial Committee is unmoved. He calls the ads stunts and says they're funded by far-left groups working for what he calls their big-dollar donors, not the American people. Bob Agnew reporting.
According to the website Influence Watch, Demand Justice also launched a campaign organizing opposition to now Supreme Court Justice Brett Kavanaugh and also sponsored a tour entitled Rise Up for Roe, which featured Senator Elizabeth Warren and also funded by Planned Parenthood. News and analysis at townhall.com. The U.S. winter flu season off to its earliest start in more than 15 years. Correspondent John Scott has more on the story.
An early barrage of illness in the South has begun to spread, and there's a chance flu season could peak much earlier than normal. The last flu season to rev up this early was in 2003-2004, a bad one. Some experts think the early start may mean a lot of suffering is in store. Others say it's too early to tell. Louisiana was the first state to get hit really hard when doctors began seeing large numbers of flu-like illnesses in October. John Scott reporting.
Health officials are investigating a nationwide outbreak of vaping illnesses that have listed for the first time the vape brands most commonly linked to hospitalizations. Most of the nearly 2,300 people who suffered lung damage had vaped liquids that contained THC, the high-inducing parts of marijuana. More on these stories at townhall.com. I'm Gordon Griffin.
If the average adult is issued 32 troopers that with proper care and just a little discipline should serve you well during your entire tour of duty on this planet, they're called your teeth. But when your platoon gets out of line, holes in the formation, or other problems, you need to call in an expert like General, Dr. William Farrell, with decades of experience keeping those troops in line and executing their assigned duties properly and dependably. If you'd rather not be there while he reestablishes order amongst the troops, Dr. Farrell offers sedation dentistry. He and his highly trained staff will whip your troops into shape without any discomfort. And having served himself in both the Navy and the Marine Corps, Dr. Farrell offers special consideration to veterans. Let him take the best care of your platoon of teeth, and they will serve you always. Call 547-5757 or visit palosidrodentistry.com. At ease.
And for a limited time, Dr. Farrell is offering x-ray, exam, and cleaning for just $175. Call 547-5757 to schedule your visit.
I've got a lot coming up for you this hour. A little bit later on in the hour, Democrats are defending anti-Semitism again, and Bill Nye, the science guy, a.k.a. the leftist, is lecturing Americans about global warming using a blowtorch. But we begin today with the trade war with China apparently now kicking into higher gear. Now, as I've said, there are two ways of viewing this trade war with China. Way number one, President Trump is playing chicken with the Chinese. Guys, over and over and over, that tariffs are wonderful, tariffs are fine, because he's trying to get China to crumble. He's trying to put a brick on the accelerator in this game of chicken and demonstrate that he has pre-committed to doing whatever he has to do to get them to cave. Possibility number two is that President Trump actually kind of likes tariffs. Now, the reason that possibility number two is probably more probable is because over the course of Trump's career, he's been very clear that he likes tariffs. He likes the idea of using trade barriers. Economics 101 teaches you that if you are to prevent the importation of cheaper products and cheaper inputs from other places, you're actually taxing your own consumers. Think about this in your own daily life. Let's say that you run a carpentry shop, and let's say that there's a grocery in town, and you spend a lot of money at the grocery every month, but they are not buying your goods. Now, theoretically, you could say to the grocery, listen, I'm not going to shop at your grocery until you start buying the kind of shelves that I build. And maybe that works, in which case, that was a good use of tariffs. Maybe, instead, or it is possible that if they are not going to buy your carpentry anyway, or if they have no intention of doing so or being pressured into it, all you are doing by refusing to buy from the grocery is making sure that you're going to spend more money on groceries. You haven't damaged them. You've really only hurt yourself. You've hurt them a little bit. You've hurt yourself a lot more because in terms of relative cost, depriving your consumers of cheaper products and better products is a way of damaging your tax-paying base. That's exactly what happens when you tariff a country. So there better be another reason that you are actually using the tariff. It can't just be for the purpose of strengthening the economy. Now, the problem that I have with President Trump's talk about tariffs is that it fails to acknowledge the reality. The reality is that every tariff must be a game of chicken, or it is just damaging to domestic industry. If you are just tariffing other countries, all you are doing is forcing your taxpayers to pay higher prices for products that are imported or for competitive goods produced in the United States that no longer have to lower their price to compete with those foreign imports. So, for example, President Trump, he says, listen, we're in a very good position. Everything is fine. Everything's going to be fine. Tariffs are great.
The bottom line is we are taking in tremendous amounts of money. It already started as of last Friday, but it really started 7 months before that. It's in the form of tariffs or taxes, and it had a tremendous impact. If you looked at the first quarter, which is always historically the worst quarter, we were at 3.2%.
Okay, the idea that we are making money hand over fist thanks to tariffs is simply not true. The tax is actually not on Chinese producers. The tax is on American consumers. President Trump has been tweeting out consistently about this and inaccurately about this. He tweeted out, in 1 year, tariffs have rebuilt our steel industry. It is booming. We placed a 25% tariff on dumped steel from China and other countries, and we now have a big and growing industry. We had to save steel for our defense and auto industries, both of which are coming back strong. This thing, you know, he wanted the impeachment from the beginning. Representative Veronica Escobar, she's making clear also why the Democrats are doing this. She says, listen, if we leave Trump in power, he might win. And then the Democrats presumably will claim that he won because of Ukrainian influence. And this is the game that we're going to play. Because the Democrats never accepted that Trump won 2016. They spent 2 years leading us down this goat rodeo about why it was Russian interference that had won the election for Trump, which is nonsense, absolute sheer crap. They still maintain this is the case. These are the same people who say that Stacey Abrams is the legit governor of Georgia after losing by 55,000 votes. So now they're saying, if we don't get rid of Trump now, he's going to cheat. We have to get rid of him now or he's going to cheat. Here is Representative Escobar from Texas making the claim that we can't wait for an election to decide who's president because Trump might cheat. This is Veronica Escobar.
If you have a corrupt executive who is willing to maintain power by corrupting our election, there's an urgency there. If we were to wait, we've already seen that the president has done everything possible to prevent us from getting access to all of the documents, all of the witnesses that we need to. From the House Judiciary Committee, the Robert Mueller report, we're still fighting to gain access to some of those materials. If we wait for the courts, if we wait for an election to settle this, then we will have waited too long, in my opinion.
If we wait. Because if we wait too long, then Trump might be reelected. And then that would be unfair, because then he'll have been reelected. So, I mean, it's pretty obvious what's going on here. Adam Schiff made it completely clear, right? He says that he just hates Trump because Trump doesn't give a bleep about America. Right? He literally said this, that Trump doesn't give a bleep about America. Okay, so Nancy Pelosi is asked whether this is about hatred of Trump. And she says, no, as a Catholic, I'm so upset that anyone would imply that I don't like Trump. I pray for him every single night. Here she is lying.
Do you hate the president, Madam Speaker? Because
I don't hate anybody.
I did not accuse
you.
I asked a question.
This is about the Constitution of the United States and the facts that lead to the president's violation of his oath of office. And as a Catholic, I resent your using the word hate in a sentence that addresses me. I don't hate anyone. I was raised in a way that is full, a heart full of love, and always prayed for the president.
Oh, well, you know, she has nothing but love for Trump. Did you know that? I didn't know that. That's a new one. Mainly because it's not, like, super true, but sure, why not? Heart full of love, heart full of love. And then she was asked about this again, and she said it was disgusting to be asked if I hate Trump. Disgusting. Not the killing of the babies all the way up to birth. It's disgusting. She's such a good Catholic that she doesn't hate anyone, but also such a good Catholic that men can become women, same-sex marriage should be mandated by the federal government on all the states, and also abortion until birth should be legal. Here's Nancy Pelosi being a very, very good Catholic.
I was raised a Catholic. My college roommate, Rita Meyer, and my college classmate, Mary Beta, are here with me. We were raised, and my dear husband, Paul, and Danny, our friend, Susan, we were raised in a Catholic faith, and the word hate a person was just, that just didn't happen. You know, the word hate is a terrible word, but you might reserve it for vanilla ice cream or something like that, but not, I'm a chocoholic, but not for a person. And it is, so for him to say that was really disgusting to me.
Disgusting. Disgusting. You reserve hate. Never for another person, ever. Yeah, because she seems like a not hateful person in any particular way. Ever. Ever. And then there's an entire article in the Washington Post defending her on this nonsense. Karen Tumulty has a piece called Nancy Pelosi and that four-letter word. One of the things every Catholic child is taught is that the word hate should never be used in connection with another human being. This admonition flows from the expansive Catholic interpretation of the Fifth Commandment. In a general audience last year in St. Peter's Square, Pope Francis declared that to hate is to murder in your heart, all of which explains why Nancy Pelosi reacted when James Rosen asked her, "Do you hate the president, Madam Speaker?" In an uncharacteristic burst of fury, Pelosi told Rosen, "As a Catholic, I resent your using the word hate in a sentence that addresses me." Her critics will question her sincerity. Yeah, you think? And point out that she has broken with Catholic teaching on big issues of doctrine, chief among them abortion. Like in 2015, very, very good Catholic Nancy Pelosi said, "The church has their position and we have ours, which is that a woman has free will given to her by God. But apparently an unborn child doesn't have a soul given to it by God." But those who know her well insist religious belief is at the core of everything Pelosi does. Anna Eshoo, fellow California congresswoman, said, quote, "There are two pillars in her life in terms of her beliefs, her Catholicism, a very deep faith, and her family. This is the authentic Nancy." That Democrats, including Pelosi, find Trump's actions and his character abhorrent is true. "I think the president is a coward when it comes to helping our kids who are afraid of gun violence," said Pelosi. "I think he is cruel. I think he is in denial." But disgust to a Catholic is not the same as hatred. Now, this is the part that I really love, is the media, in defending Nancy Pelosi, accidentally acknowledge the truth about how religious people very often feel about political opponents and their policies. Right? This is, it's kind of amazing, right? So the entire Democratic Party has been militarized to believe that if you're a religious person and you oppose same-sex marriage, it's not because you have significant scruples about same-sex marriage itself and its impact on the institution of traditional marriage and the redefinition of relationships. No, it's because you hate gay people. Right? Look at what Cory Booker has to say about religious people, or Beto O'Rourke. Look at the Democratic Party. What they have said is that if you are a traditional, Pete Buttigieg says this all the time, if you're a traditional religious believer in the differentiation between the sexes or on abortion or on any of these other topics, it's because you're a hater. It's because you're a hater. But if Nancy Pelosi wants Trump impeached, it's not because she's a hater. It's because she distinguishes between the sin and the sinner as a very good Catholic. Okay, so the media is going to have to pick one. Either religion is a cover for your animus, or it's not a cover for your animus and you have political beliefs. By the way, the only reason that I think that Pelosi's position here is fueled by animus is because I don't think she has the goods. And either if she had the goods, then maybe I would suggest that this was more motivated by misunderstanding. But it seems pretty obvious that this is motivated on the part of the Democratic Party by animus. We'll get to more of this in just one second. First, let's talk about the fact that you are an adult human being, and that means that you need to buy some life insurance. Be a responsible person. Responsible people make sure that their families are taken care of in case, God forbid, something should happen to them. And this is why you should go check out Policy Genius today. Policy Genius makes finding the right life insurance a breeze. In minutes, you can compare quotes from the top insurers and find your best price. You could save $1,500 or more a year by using Policy Genius to compare life insurance policies. Once you apply, the Policy Genius team handles all the paperwork and the red tape. Policy Genius doesn't just make life insurance easy. They can also help you find the right home and auto insurance, disability insurance. So, if you need life insurance, but you're not exactly sure where to start, why not start at PolicyGenius.com? That takes only a few minutes to find the right life insurance policy, apply, and cross another thing off your to-do list. Policy Genius, when it comes to life insurance, it's nice to get it right, and it's important to get it right. And competitive shopping will always save you money, so you don't have to buy life insurance through word of mouth. And again, they do like home insurance, auto insurance, disability insurance. They are one-stop shop for insurance and get it done quickly, easily, and less expensively by checking out PolicyGenius.com. Again, that is PolicyGenius.com. And so President Trump, for his part, he says he doesn't believe Nancy Pelosi on all this. He tweets out, "Yeah, sure, you pray for me. Yeah." He says, "Nancy Pelosi just had a nervous fit. She hates that we will soon have 182 great new judges and so much more. Stock market and employment records. She says she prays for the president. I don't believe her. Not even close. Help the homeless in your district, Nancy." USMCA, that is the trade deal that the Democrats are holding up right now. By the way, the economic report today is quite good. The reason Democrats want Trump out is because he has a very solid shot at re-election. Excellent. New employment report today, 266,000 jobs added in the last month alone. That's a big number, a very big number. It's the biggest number since January. The stock market is up significantly today. Those are good stats for the president. Wages are up 3.1% on the year. That's good stuff. There's a reason that Democrats are getting nervous. In fact, New York Times columnists are basically admitting as much at this point. So there's a piece by Anne Milgram a former federal prosecutor. And she says that Trump has to be ousted because otherwise he's going to steal the election. Don't worry, this isn't conspiratorial thinking. I do enjoy how Democrats say if Trump loses, he's not going to accept the results. They are preemptively not accepting the results in Democrat land. Preemptively. Right? This piece from the New York Times says, "We are faced with a direct threat that is unfolding before our eyes. If left unchecked, the president's abusive behavior stands as a clear and present danger to the future of our democracy." House Speaker Nancy Pelosi said as much on Thursday when she announced that the House Judiciary Committee would begin drafting articles of impeachment. This columnist says, "Our criminal law has three main goals: to punish a person who has broken the law, to stop that person from causing a current harm, and to deter future harm. It's this last goal and the importance of preventing future wrongdoing that resonates so clearly in the work of the Intelligence Committee. The impeachment inquiry has largely centered on Trump, yet the report makes clear we should be concerned with more than just his own efforts to alter the 2020 election results. The Intelligence Committee paints a vivid picture of an extensive, months-long, highly coordinated effort to pressure Ukraine that included the president, Rudy Giuliani, Mulvaney, Pence, Mike Pompeo, Rick Perry, and the ambassador to the EU, by the way, none of whom Democrats are waiting to have testify. But the idea here from this New York Times columnist is that if the Congress does not hold the president accountable, quote, there will be no way to prevent the future harm of a corrupted election. It's one thing for our leaders to engage in corruption. It's an entirely different thing for our elections to be in doubt. So in other words, the Democrats are already preemptively saying that they're not going to accept the results of the election. Good stuff. Good stuff. All righty, coming up, we're going to talk about how this trial goes in the Senate once the House votes for impeachment, which they will. First, let's talk about the difficulty in communicating about sex. Okay, it's rough, okay? There are certain things in life that are uncomfortable to talk about, but that doesn't mean you shouldn't get them solved. Medical problems are one of those things, and erectile dysfunction can be particularly embarrassing to talk about, but it's a problem you can get solved, and you can do it discreetly by heading over to Roman. With Roman, you can get a free online evaluation and ongoing care for ED, all from the comfort and privacy of your home. The doctor will work with you to find the best treatment plan. If medication is appropriate, Roman will ship it to you with free two-day shipping. The whole process is straightforward and simple and discreet. Getting started is super simple. You just go to GetRoman.com/Shapiro and you complete an online visit. Erectile dysfunction used to be tough to tackle. Now there's Roman. Complete an online visit today. You can connect with a doctor and take care of it. Just go to GetRoman.com/Shapiro to get a free online visit and free two-day shipping. That is GetRoman.com/Shapiro for that free visit to get started. GetRoman.com/Shapiro. GetRoman.com/Shapiro. Go check them out right now. Medical problems? They have a solution. This one does. Check it out at GetRoman.com/Shapiro for that free online visit and free two-day shipping. All righty, coming up, once the Democrats impeach in the House, where does this thing go next? The Senate. Well, what's that going to look like? How do things go in the Senate? Well, there are a couple of different options, but Joe Biden is making clear he ain't going to go and testify before the Senate, even if he's subpoenaed. Is that obstruction, Democrats? This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
If you are behind on your bills, then this message is for you. How would you like to have a large portion of your credit card debt or medical bills forgiven? National Credit Card Relief would like to give you free information on a proven debt forgiveness program. It's not bankruptcy. It's not consolidation. This special program actually wipes clean the portion of your debt that is forgiven. Call for your free forgiveness information now. 800-291-6670. That's 800-291-6670. Don't wait. Call 800-291-6670. Not available in North Dakota.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, U.S. Tax Shield can help you take back control. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Our team of tax attorneys can stop collections and get you protected. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the BBB, so call 800-466-9625. U.S. Tax Shield, 800-466-9625.
Does your water stain and damage your fixtures? Does it smell or taste bad? Are you worried about what's in your water? Water quality should not be painful and worrisome. Get HydroCare water systems from Wave Home Solutions with the most advanced purification technologies. Call Wave Home Solutions today at 1-888-973-WAVE or go to wavecleanwater.com. HydroCare will eliminate lime scale that causes hundreds of dollars in damage to pipes and appliances. Without using salt, well water will no longer smell or stain your fixtures. City water will be purified of harmful chlorine, lead, arsenic, and chemicals. Wave Home Solutions provides the cleanest, healthiest water at every faucet. Satisfaction guaranteed. For more information, call 1-888-973-WAVE. 1-888-973-WAVE. Or go to wavecleanwater.com. That's wavecleanwater.com.
Wave Home Solutions.
If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes, you need a new start. Our New Start program will stop collection efforts, remove any liens the IRS has in place, and help you reduce your back taxes by as much as 80%. That's right, 80%. Call 1-800-312-9970. Let the professionals at Coast One Financial Group fight to get you the new start you deserve. If you owe at least $10,000 to the IRS and need a new start on your back taxes, call 1-800-312-9970.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So let's talk for a second about what this Senate trial will look like, because the Democrats are clearly going to vote in favor of impeachment in the House. Doesn't really matter if they have the evidence or not. They're just going to do it. OK, we all know that they are going to do it. So what exactly is that Senate trial going to look like? Well, Joe Biden is saying he's not going to appear voluntarily. He says, no way, no how. They can call me. I'm not going to show up for my subpoena. Here is Joe Biden.
If there's a Senate impeachment trial, I'd like to call you as a witness. Is that something where you would appear voluntarily?
No, I'm not going to let them take your eye off the ball. The president is the one who has committed impeachable crimes. And I'm not going to let him divert from that. I'm not going to let anybody divert from that. And like you heard me say a lot of times, he's worried about corruption.
Okay, so there's Joe Biden saying he's not going to appear. Well, isn't that obstruction of justice? I mean, I was just informed by the Democrats that if you are subpoenaed and you don't show up and you challenge it in court, that alone is obstruction of justice. If you actually read Adam Schiff's garbage 300-page report, he makes this claim. He suggests that if you're a member of the executive branch and you don't show up for a subpoena, that in and of itself constitutes obstruction of justice. That's absolute nonsense. But there is Joe Biden basically saying he'll do that, that if you subpoena me, I am not showing up under any circumstances. I was talking with my business partner, Jeremy Boring, last night on our Daily Wire backstage, and we were talking about what exactly the Republican Senate strategy should be in terms of these hearings. There's two basic strategies on the table. Strategy one seems to be the one that Mitch McConnell wants to pursue. McConnell's very good at his job when it comes to this sort of stuff. And the strategy is, let's just move fast on it, get it out of the way, move forward to the election. I get it, right? The more these headlines are out there, the less you're focusing in on the Democrats. It makes some sense. On the other hand, there's a case to be made that the Republicans in the Senate should just faceplant the Democrats. They don't have the evidence. They should call Biden. They should call Hunter. They should call Adam Schiff. They should call the whistleblower. They should call everybody, and they should subpoena them. And not only should they subpoena them, they should subpoena their phone records, because that is what Adam Schiff did to Rudy Giuliani. He just went direct to AT&T and asked AT&T for all the phone records for Rudy Giuliani. And apparently all the phone records for people like Devin Nunes. And according to Joel Pollack, writing over at Breitbart, some journalists are beginning to worry that their phone records may have been caught up in snooping conducted by Representative Adam Schiff and revealed in the House Intelligence Committee's 300-page impeachment report. In that report, which Schiff unveiled on Tuesday, the committee uses AT&T phone records to draw connections between ranking member Devin Nunes and his staff, President Trump's personal attorney, Rudy Giuliani, investigative journalist John Solomon, and now indicted Ukrainian-American businessman Lev Parnas. The report lists phone calls between all of those named individuals. It doesn't describe the contents of the call, and suggests they were all part of a scheme to, quote-unquote, smear former U.S. ambassador to Ukraine, Marie Yovanovitch. The smear campaign forms part of the Democrats' case against the president. It's unclear exactly whose phone calls from all the media reports were actually requested from AT&T. Nunes revealed Wednesday evening that Schiff had used a subpoena of phone numbers unrecognized at the time to construct a record of the ranking member's phone conversations. So apparently, it sounds like Schiff actually requested the phone information for Devin Nunes, his actual political rival. So do you get to now subpoena all of the AT&T records for Joe Biden? Does the Senate get to do that? Going all the way back to 2016, see who in Ukraine he was talking to? Do they get to do that with Adam Schiff? Maybe they should do that with Schiff and find out who he was talking to throughout this whole process and then just reveal that publicly. Because after all, it's good enough for Schiff. Why shouldn't it be good enough for Republicans? And there are a bunch of reporters who are wondering publicly whether they were caught up in this Schiff sort of dragnet. And it's pretty astonishing stuff. So case number one for McConnell is go ahead and push this thing to its limit. Force the Democrats to defend their procedures. Force the Democrats to get up and testify. And then case number two is just dispense with this thing. We already know what it's going to be. Don't make it last any longer than it has to. Move on to the election. I see sort of the case for both things. But I am tempted to say that somebody in the Senate ought to make bank off of just going after the Democrats on this stuff, because it is perfectly obvious the Democrats have overreached. And they know they've overreached. It's why they're rushing this thing. If they thought this was a political boon, do you think they'd be rushing it? When's the last time politicians rushed something they thought was helping them? Democrats were perfectly sanguine about government shutdowns in the past when Trump was president because they believed that it helped them. Don't you think they would be stretching this thing to its full extent if they could? But they can't because they don't got it. So we'll see how the Senate trial manifests. But suffice it to say that Republicans have some bricks they can wield here. Alrighty, coming up, we'll be joined by Alan Dershowitz. He's going to stop by to discuss his new book. Plus, we'll ask him about impeachment and everything else Trump-related. You're listening to The Ben Shapiro Show.
Learn more about our shows and hosts. Check us out online at kcnr1460.com. KCNR, Shasta, Redding.
Purpose-driven banking. That's the vision behind the founding of Five Star Bank in 1999. Services inspired by partnership and defined by shared vision and goals. Five Star Bank, a champion of local economic development and community stewardship. Your success is their success. Now that's smart people doing good business. In a world that's both more connected and more isolated by high tech, Five Star Bank brings you a personal touch to small business banking, cash management, and online services. Five Star Bank, consistently rated among the very best by industry associations, rating agencies, and of course, customers and partners just like you. Your partner in success is Five Star Bank. FiveStarBank.com. Visit your local branch at 358 Hartnell in Reading. Progressive, professional, personal. That's Five Star Bank. Equal Housing Lender, member FDIC.
KCNR is proud to announce that we are now live at 96.5 FM, as well as online, and as always, heard on 1460 AM. Weekday mornings, wake up with the Sue McClain News Hour, followed by Free Fire Radio, your talk radio station at the epicenter of change in downtown Reading. 9 to noon, be informed and laugh along with Armstrong and Getty, the conscience of the nation. Noon to 3, find your financial peace with Dave Ramsey. 3 to 6, the hard-hitting constitutional expert, Mark Levin. Monday through Thursdays at 6 p.m., local shows feature everything from the paranormal to pop culture to unsung heroes of our area. 7 to 9, Ben Shapiro with an expanded program that brings the issues of the day to your radio. And finish your weekday with the Chris Plant Show, 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. KCNR, now on 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, and always online. More than ever, we're your locally owned, community-connected talk radio.
Hi, this is Linda Bott, and let me tell you about our North State Now show on Thursday nights at 6 p.m. right here on KCNR. The first Thursday of the month will be yours truly, covering arts and entertainment and all kinds of fun stuff. The second Thursday will be Michelle Slade, highlighting and interviewing North State heroes. The third Thursday is James Masada and Rhonda Alvey, bringing you all things with Enjoy the Magazine and Enjoy the Store. And the fourth Thursday from Shasta Regional Medical Center is Dr. Orna Gill, covering all things women's health. The title sponsor for North State Now is the Reading Civic Auditorium, also brought to you by the Black Bear Diner, Shasta Regional Medical Center, and Carlene's Restaurant and Bar, located at 1100 Center Street. That's North State Now, right here on KCNR, 96.5 FM, and 1460 AM, 6 p.m., North State Now.
As gun laws continue to tighten up across the country, Bastiani Arms will continue to provide our community with quality firearms, hard-to-find ammo, off-list fully built AR lower receivers, and the absolute best customer service. Get out of the grab-and-go box stores and come talk to a knowledgeable firearm specialist. The good guys at Bastiani Arms are real gun enthusiasts with two full-time gunsmiths on hand 5 days a week. Right now, Bastiani Arms is stocked up on hard-to-find ammo. 30-30, 38 Special, and 44 Magnum. More people than ever are exercising their rights to conceal and carry a firearm. Seth Stoke has over 20 years' experience in firearms and offers CCW classes, women-only CCW classes, and hunter education. Bastiani Arms has everything you need for firearms, and they appreciate you shopping local. Bastiani Arms, on the corner of Larkspur Lane and Wall Street in Reading. Join the revolution.
Hi, this is Chuck Kinney of Shasta Gas Propane. Our company motto is, our customers are warm friends. We are demonstrating our commitment to this motto by helping those in our area that lost their homes in the car fire and are moving onto their property in an RV during the rebuilding process. We can hook up a 120-gallon propane tank to your RV gas system and deliver gas to your property so you won't have to disconnect your 7-gallon cylinder and take it somewhere to get it filled, then reconnect it and relight your pilots. We will deliver and connect the tank at no charge, then discount the price of the propane. Give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793. We want to help you during this stressful time.
Getting into college doesn't happen magically. You have to take the right classes now, like Algebra 2, Biology, and a Foreign Language. Learn more at knowhowtogo.org.
Brought to you by the American Council on Education, Lumina Foundation for Education, and the Ad Council.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. Joining us on the line is Professor Alan Dershowitz. I remember Professor Dershowitz from my days at Harvard Law. I actually took a class with Professor Dershowitz and Steven Pinker. He has a brand new book titled Guilt by Accusation, The Challenge of Proving Innocence in the Age of Me Too. He provides an in-depth analysis of what he claims are the false accusations against him regarding Jeffrey Epstein and other accusers. Again, the book is Guilt by Accusation. Welcome, Professor Dershowitz.
If you're accused, you're guilty today. And that's, you know, if I can be accused, anybody can be accused. You remember me at Harvard, 50 years. I never had a complaint, never had any kind of an issue. I've been married to the same woman for years. Her own lawyer, the accuser, said she was wrong and it was impossible for me to. And all of this, I have emails from her saying she never met me, and yet the accusations go forward. One of the reasons that I was not allowed to testify for the president at the hearings, the Judiciary Committee hearings, was because of this false accusation. That's how bad it's got.
Well, I get an F for remembering the title, but the book is indeed called Guilt by Accusation. Professor Dershowitz, how did this whole sort of controversy arise? Because obviously people have been following this in the headlines, following everything Jeffrey Epstein related. What was your relationship with Jeffrey Epstein, and why exactly was your name mentioned?
Well, I met him through Harvard. He was very close to the president of Harvard. He contributed to build the Harvard Hillel. And a very prominent woman, Lady Rothschild, asked me to meet him because he was so closely connected to Harvard. I met him with Steve Pinker. We attended some of his conferences. I never had a close personal relationship with him. And then I became his lawyer when he got in trouble. And that was the end of it. And then suddenly a woman who had told numerous people that she never met me, never had sex with me, met her lawyers. And her lawyers presumably told her there was a pot of gold at the end of the rainbow. So she suddenly remembered that she had sex with me 7 times, including in front of my house in Cambridge. And then she then went into my house, even though my wife was there. She has an office and we had a little young child who had an au pair, totally made up the whole story. So I sent it to the former head of the FBI to look into. He read all of my travel records, and he concluded it was impossible for me to have been in the places she said she met me. And her own lawyer, David Boies, on tape, said that she was wrong, simply wrong. It was impossible for me to have been in the places. And yet, people still, if you're accused, you're guilty. And if it can happen to me, it can happen to your brother, your uncle, your niece, your nephew. You know, if how do you protect yourself against a false accusation? I've lived a life of perfect probity when it comes to these matters. I'm controversial, but not about this. And if I could be accused, anybody can be accused. And if I can't prove my innocence, I have emails from her admitting she never met me. How does anybody prove their innocence?
Well, Stephen Alan Dershowitz, his brand new book is Guilt by Accusation, The Challenge of Proving Innocence in the Age of Me Too. So, Professor Dershowitz, I wanted to ask you about a couple of the items that are in the news concerning criminal accusations. Obviously, the Democrats are moving forward with impeachment of President Trump. There's no doubt at this point that the Democrats are, in fact, going to vote for impeachment. It seems to me that they do not have the evidence that a crime has even been committed here. They're claiming things like obstruction of justice because they're members of the executive branch that have appealed their subpoenas, which is not obstruction of justice. Also, it seems that they are claiming bribery when they have not established intent by President Trump to actually commit any sort of bribery with regard to anything remotely associated with the 2020 election specifically. What do you make of the impeachment charges, and why is this thing moving forward?
Well, it's moving forward because of what Hamilton feared most in Federalist 65, namely that impeachment would turn on who has the most votes in the House of Representatives. And that's what's going on. It's purely partisan vote. All four of the experts who testified at the Judiciary Committee were wrong. Three of them who testified for the Democrats were wrong because they just made up one thing after another. If you put your own personal partisan views ahead of the nation, you can be impeached. If you're maladministration, you can be impeached. None of that's in the Constitution. But even my friend Jonathan Turley, who did a great job, was wrong when he said you can be impeached for gross abuse of office or abuse of power. That's just not in the Constitution. The framers rejected that. They didn't want to turn the United States into a parliamentary democracy. You know, they didn't want the president to be king, but as badly, they didn't want the legislature to be sovereign. They didn't want the legislature to be able to dismiss a president at will the way the parliament in England can get rid of a prime minister simply by having a vote of non-confidence. So they struck a balance, three parts of an equally divided country. And a president should assert executive privilege and should not respond to subpoenas if he feels there's a legitimate basis for opposing them. And then the courts decide. That's the function of the courts in a system of checks and balances. And it would be a horrible abuse of power for Congress to impeach President Trump because he refused to comply with subpoenas absent court orders. That would be an abuse by Congress. Congress is not above the law. They love to say the president isn't above the law, but Congress isn't above the law. Congress is not a super legislature like in England. The president is not a king. All of that is true, but they're cliches.
We're speaking with Professor Alan Dershowitz. His new book is Guilt by Accusation. So, Professor Dershowitz, I also want to get your opinion on pending legal proceedings in Israel. Obviously, Prime Minister Netanyahu has sort of been placed between a rock and a hard place. If he were to resign, he'd presumably be tried for all of these charges, including things like bribery and abuse of power, very similar to some of the charges that have been leveled against President Trump. He'd be tried in Tel Aviv, where presumably he would end up in jail because nobody in Tel Aviv likes Netanyahu. If he remains prime minister of Israel while he's being tried, he'll be tried in Jerusalem, where presumably he gets a slap on the wrist. What do you make of the charges? Why did this case go forward? Netanyahu suggests that the entire thing is basically a frame-up.
Well, I think he's right in the sense that you can't have a crime based on the desire to get good media coverage or eliminate bad media coverage. If you could do that, every politician in the country would be in jail. So although Avichai Mandelblit has been a friend of mine for a long time, as has Bibi Netanyahu, I first met Bibi when he was a student at MIT, I don't think there is any basis for a trial. I think the trial hopefully will take place in Jerusalem, where I think he can get a fairer shot. But nonetheless, he is being charged for something that should never be a crime. I helped file an amicus brief along with a group of other American lawyers who care deeply about this, arguing that there's no country in history, westernized democracy, that has ever used the desire for media coverage as a quid or a quo in a bribery charge. This would be the first time ever, and I think it's a very, very, very weak case against Netanyahu.
So we're going to speak in just a second, Professor Dershowitz, a little bit more about impeachment, how this thing moves forward, because again, I think that it's pretty obvious that in the House they are going to impeach. I'd love to hear your opinion on what the Senate procedures are going to look like. First, let's talk for a second about socialism. The fact is a lot of Democrats in the media have been talking about the glories of socialism. We're not just talking about presidential candidates, but people like AOC. Bernie Sanders obviously talks a lot about all of this. Well, there's a group called FreedomWorks that has put together a socialist scorecard evaluating where presidential candidates stand on the issues of the day. If you'd like to check it out, just text Ben, my name Ben, to 52886. You will receive exclusive access to FreedomWorks' Socialist Scorecard. You can evaluate the candidates yourself, decide they are indeed socialist or not, where exactly they stand on the issues. FreedomWorks is a great group. They spend a lot of time compiling information and giving you action items so that you can actually help out in the political battles that are currently being waged. If you'd like to view the information, please text Ben, my name Ben, to 52886 to receive exclusive access to that socialist scorecard right now. Again, FreedomWorks is a great group. You should be associated with them. Check out all of the stuff they have to offer by texting my name Ben to 52886 and get that FreedomWorks socialist scorecard right now. It's also good. You're going to be with your family over the holidays, and you're all going to be arguing politics. Why not have a little more information? Text Ben, my name Ben, to 52886. Okay, so Professor Dershowitz, I want to ask you about the Senate procedures moving forward. We haven't seen a whole hell of a lot of impeachments in our lifetime. We saw the beginnings of that with Nixon, but it never reached that stage. We saw a Senate trial for President Clinton, obviously. What do you think the Senate is going to do here? What do you think the procedures look like? And do you think this turns into basically just a wild free-for-all in which everyone, including Hunter and Joe Biden, ends up testifying in front of the Senate?
Well, there are three or four potential options. One, if the House impeaches him on grounds that are not in the Constitution, the Senate has the right to say, we reject your impeachment as void. It's not constitutional. We are not going forward with it. You acted in a manner that abused your power, and we're just shutting the door on you. That's one possibility. It probably won't happen. The second, there's a trial, and if there's a trial, it's presided over by the Chief Justice of the United States. And we don't have a lot of experience as to what trials would look like. I'm not quite old enough to remember the trial of Andrew Johnson, but it was a disaster, that trial, because he was being tried for violating an act of Congress, which he said was unconstitutional. And he was right. The Supreme Court ultimately ruled it was unconstitutional. I think the Bill Clinton case may have committed a crime, but it wasn't a high crime. It was a low crime. So we don't have a lot of good experience. But in the end, he will be acquitted. And I think it will be an embarrassment to the Democrats. But, you know, they're trying very hard to silence my voice on these issues. They're using this phony charge of sexual misconduct to try to get me not to be involved in testifying in front of Congress, and it succeeded with the Judiciary Committee. There's a recent Mondo Weiss, which is virulently anti-Israel, who keeps raising this allegation to silence my voice on Israel to make sure I don't speak up on Netanyahu. So what we're seeing is an attempt to really silence me, a violation of the First Amendment. And as you know from your personal experience, the hard left has abandoned the First Amendment, abandoned due process. If you're accused, you're guilty. If you're a right person or a white male, you have no right to free speech. And it's beginning to infect even the impeachment proceedings now.
Professor Dershowitz, I want to ask you one more question while we're speaking about Israel policy. The House of Representatives passed a resolution today condemning the Trump administration for acknowledging the obvious reality, which is that there are disputed territories in Israel, that the settlements in Israel that are in Judea and Samaria, the so-called West Bank, that those settlements do not have a status as blatantly illegal on the face, because obviously all final negotiated settlement is going to have to happen between the two parties. The House of Representatives rejected that today and basically suggested that it should be seen as illegal to build an extra bathroom in East Jerusalem if you're a Jew. Right. That was too much for some members of the squad. Rashida Tlaib suggested that there can't even be a two-state solution. A two-state solution, she said, would be apartheid. What do you make of the Democrats' moves on this sort of stuff?
Well, I think it's terrible. First of all, they're dead wrong as a matter of international law. Since 1970, I have personally favored the two-state solution, but I have also said that the occupation is not illegal. You're permitted to occupy territories that you captured in a defensive war as long as there's belligerency, and there is still belligerency. As far as the settlements are concerned, it's disputed territory. And I think that Obama was wrong in allowing the UN to go forward with a resolution as it did, saying that the Western Wall was occupied territory, that the Hebrew University access roads and Hadassah Hospital and the Jewish Quarter are all illegally occupied territory. That's wrong as a matter of international law, and Congress shouldn't be getting into issues like that. The issue of the two-state solution to be negotiated between the two parties without the thumb of Congress being put on the scale, and I think in the end the Israelis have offered the Palestinians a state. 1938, 1948, 1967, 2000, 2001, 2008, and that offer is still on the table. The Palestinians have refused to sit down with the Israelis to negotiate. The fault is completely on their side. The Palestinians have never missed an opportunity to miss an opportunity. They don't know how to take yes for an answer. And of all the displaced groups in the world, you think the Palestinians have the least claim because they could have had a state many, many times. The Kurds have never had a state. Why doesn't Congress call for a Kurdish state? But they haven't done that because there's lobbyists and the squad that is so anti-Israel, and the Democrats, unfortunately, have become beholden to the extremists in that party. And I want, as a Democrat, that concerns me deeply, and I hope that we can marginalize these extremists and move back toward the center where the Democrats have some shot at being competitive with the Republicans. Right now, I don't think they have a shot.
I'm Professor Alan Dershowitz of Harvard Law School. His new book is Guilt by Accusation, The Challenge of Proving Innocence in the Age of Me Too. Professor Dershowitz, really appreciate your time.
Thank you so much. Keep doing great things.
Well, coming up, we're going to talk a little bit of Bible because it's a Friday. We'll get to that in just 1 second. First, did you know you can watch all 3 hours of this show? You can, but you have to become a Daily Wire insider. Go to dailywire.com, click on the subscribe button at the top of the page. Daily Wire insiders are the only people who can watch all 3 hours of this show every day on demand. It is magical. It is wonderful. You know this voice is glorious, but have you ever seen this magnificent face? It's incredible. Let me just tell you, it's a great face. I look at it every day in the mirror, and you'll love it too. And if you don't, well, I mean, it's too late. You'll have already subscribed at that point. Go to dailywire.com and subscribe. You also get a bunch of other shows. You get the Andrew Klavan Show and the Michael Knowles Show and the Matt Walsh Show. You get a lot more. Go check us out right now over dailywire.com/subscribe. Join tens of thousands, like seriously, like lots and lots of people in subscribing. It really helps us out, helps insulate us from the nasty left that take us out of context, try to punish us. Go check us out at dailywire.com. All right, coming up, we'll do a little bit of Bible talk because it's a Friday. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, U.S. Tax Shield can help you take back control. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Our team of tax attorneys can stop collections and get you protected. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the BBB, so call 800-466-9625. U.S. Tax Shield, 800-466-9625.
If you are behind on your bills, then this message is for you. How would you like to have a large portion of your credit card debt or medical bills forgiven? National Credit Card Relief would like to give you free information on a proven debt forgiveness program. It's not bankruptcy. It's not consolidation. This special program actually wipes clean the portion of your debt that is forgiven. Call for your free forgiveness information now.
800-291-6670. That's 800-291-6670. Don't wait. Call 800-291-6670. Not available in North Dakota.
If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes, you need a new start. Our New Start program will stop collection efforts, remove any liens the IRS has in place, and help you reduce your back taxes by as much as 80%. That's right, 80%. Call 1-800-312-9970. Let the professionals at Coast One Financial Group fight to get you the new start you deserve. If you owe at least $10,000 to the IRS and need a new start on your back taxes, call 1-800-312-9970.
If you have hard water, the limescale not only leaves white spots, it clogs pipes and breaks down appliances, costing you hundreds of dollars in energy and wear. Eliminate limescale and other water issues like brown staining, bad odors, and lead with HydroCare water products available from Wave Home Solutions. Wave's affordable systems don't use salts or chemicals. You'll love the way your water tastes, smells, and looks. Satisfaction guaranteed. For more information, go to WaveBestWater.com. That's WaveBestWater.com. Make a healthy choice about the air you breathe. Start with the Wave Smart Ventilation Unit to expel the polluted damp air from your basement and crawl space. Then add upstairs a hospital-grade 6-stage air purifier which includes a HEPA filter and a powerful dual UV system. Stop worrying about mold, odors, radon, carbon monoxide, chemicals, and hundreds of other pollutants that are trapped in your home. Visit dryhome123.com and learn how to make your home healthier and fresher all year round. That's dryhome123.com.
Thank you.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So I'm going to do what I've been doing most weeks now, do a little bit of Bible talk. So the Jews read a portion from the Bible every week. This week's portion comes from the book of Genesis, and it contains one of the great controversies in all of Bible history, the question of whether Jacob stole Esau's birthright and his blessing. So Jacob's controversy begins with the birthright. Very simple scenario. Esau is his brother, the hunter, and he comes back from the field, and he's hungry, and he demands of Jacob, pour into me now some of that very red stuff, for I am exhausted. And Jacob says, sell me as of this day your birthright to me. And Esau, without hesitating, says, look, I'm going to die, so what use to me is a birthright? The deal is struck, and the Torah reports that Jacob asks for Esau's oath, and Esau promptly gives it. And then the Torah adds a note. Jacob gave Esau bread and lentil stew, and he ate and drank, got up and left. Thus, Esau spurned the birthright. So, people have said for a while, is this Jacob cheating Esau, or is this actually just a fair and square deal? Well, the answer is really, you know, we mentioned Keynesian philosophy before. John Maynard Keynes famously suggested at one point that in the long run, everybody is dead. That you shouldn't think too much about the future, because in the long run, everybody is dead. So instead, you should deal with the problems that are on the table right now. Keynesianism essentially argues that money is better used by poor people than by rich people, which is not particularly good economic sense. But he ignores the fact that long run concerns matter. He says in the long run, we're all dead, which is a deeply immoral principle, right? The progress of mankind is dependent on you making sacrifices on behalf of your children, who make sacrifices on behalf of their children, and thus, for generations, you have a chain of sacrifice. Well, in the Bible, Esau is the epitome of a short-term thinker. When he says, look, I'm going to die, so what use to me is a birthright, he's not really saying that he's literally going to die of starvation unless he gets some lentil soup. He's articulating a basic leftist principle, which is that what matters is my material well-being today. Right? It's not about me sacrificing today on behalf of tomorrow. And Jacob sees this, and he says, okay, well, the birthright matters to me, because the birthright is not about what happens to me. It's about what happens to my kids and what happens to my kids' kids. This is the major difference in the Torah between Esau and Jacob. Esau is described as a hunter, and Jacob is described as a wholesome man abiding in tents. In other words, Esau lives day to day. He's about going out and providing the food on the table for today. And Jacob is the one who cultivates. And domestication and cultivation is the essence of civilization, which is why the birthright should descend on the person who is thinking toward the future. This still doesn't answer Jacob's trickery with regard to his father, right? So Jacob then tricks his dad about all of this. So Jacob has basically a normal market exchange with Esau. For Esau, his birthright is literally not worth a bowl of soup. And Jacob knows this, and so he takes the birthright. But then why does Jacob have to somehow trick his father? Because when he comes to Isaac's bedside, Jacob once again engages in deceit, right? Isaac has gone blind by this point. He tells Esau, I've aged. I don't know the day of my death. Sharpen your gear, your sword, and your bow. Go out into the field and hunt game for me, and then make me delicacies such as I love. Bring it to me, and I'll eat, so that my soul may bless you before I die. And then, obviously, Rebekah believes that Esau is a bad guy and Jacob's a good guy, so she covers Jacob up with kind of rough skins to imitate Esau. She cooks up the gourmet meal for Isaac, just as Isaac had told Esau to do, and then she sends Jacob in to see Isaac, and Isaac immediately recognizes something's up. He says, who are you, my son? And Jacob says that he's Esau, but Isaac still doesn't really believe that. He says, how is it that you were so quick to find my son? Meaning, how did you make this food so fast? And Jacob gives an answer that's pretty clear that he isn't Esau. He says, because your God arranged it for me. It's very out of character for Esau to credit God. And so Isaac gets even more suspicious. He says, come close if you please, so I can feel you, my son. Are you indeed my son Esau or not? And when Jacob draws close, Isaac says, the voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are Esau's hands. And he blesses him anyway. So in other words, Isaac knows something's up. And then a few minutes later, Esau shows up, and Isaac doesn't know who he is. But when Esau identifies himself, Isaac suddenly realizes that he's given his blessing to the wrong son. He says, who is the one who hunted game, brought it to me, and I partook of all when you had not yet come and I blessed him? Indeed, he shall remain blessed. Right? So he doesn't take back the blessing. So why? First, why did Isaac actually require Esau to go hunting and then cook him a meal? It's a weird sort of condition. Second, why didn't Jacob just go to his dad and say, I deserve the better blessing because I'm a long-term thinker and Esau's a short-term thinker? The oddest part is that Isaac doesn't reverse the blessing. After he's deceived, he doesn't go, oh, I guess that your brother stole the blessing. I'm going to reverse this thing now. Because a blessing given under false pretenses is not effective, right? In the Torah, if you say the blessing for wine over a piece of bread, you haven't actually covered your bases, halachically speaking, right? According to Jewish law, blessings are specific and they require specific intent. So if Isaac didn't intend to give the blessing to Jacob, then why was the blessing still effective? So let's go back to the story for a second. Isaac orders Esau to go hunting to cook a meal and prepare it for him. That request isn't actually about a meal, right? Because Rebekah can cook a meal for him. What Isaac is actually doing is asking Esau to prepare the meal because he wants Esau to show him that he can be more than the hunter, that he can actually think about the future. And so Isaac says to Esau, listen, I know that you're a fighter. I know you can protect yourself and defend yourself, but can you think ahead? And that's what he's saying to Esau. In Isaac's eyes, by contrast, Jacob has a long way to go, right? Because Isaac sees Jacob as a forward thinker, but Jacob is always in the Bible seen as sort of a weaker character in terms of defending himself, right? He's much more submissive. So when Jacob shows up wearing Esau's skin, Isaac doesn't know what to think. He doesn't know who this is. Is this Esau who's finally coming around and thinking ahead? Or is this Jacob doing the unthinkable, actually braving the possibility of his dad getting mad at him, using whatever means are necessary in order to protect himself and his future?
The Reading Rancheria Senior Nutrition Program provides socialization, transportation, and free meals to eligible Native American elders and their spouses. Our program celebrates Native elders through cultural activities, entertainment, exercise, and education. Elders can dine together here and will deliver meals to those who are unable to attend. The Reading Rancheria Senior Nutrition Program is free. Discover the services available to you or your elders at readingrancheria.com.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Gordon Griffin. The GOP chairman of the three powerful Senate committees requesting an interview with a former DNC contractor about Ukraine's possible interference in the 2016 election.
The request comes from Senators Lindsey Graham, Charles Grassley, and Ron Johnson. They want to hear from Alexandra Chalupa, a former DNC contractor who reportedly sought information from the Ukrainian embassy in 2016 about former Trump campaign chairman Paul Manafort, then passed that information on to the DNC to help the Clinton campaign. Senator Graham is not buying the Democrat talking point that the story has been debunked. He says it has yet to be determined, and, quote, it will only be found by looking. We intend to look. Bob Agnew reporting.
An aviation student from Saudi Arabia opened fire in a classroom at the Naval Air Station Pensacola on Friday morning, killing three people in an attack that the Saudi government quickly condemned and that U.S. officials were investigating for possible links to terrorism. Here's correspondent Sagar Magani.
The gunman attacked in a Naval Air Station Pensacola classroom, killing three people. Two U.S. officials say he was a second lieutenant in the Saudi Air Force who was training at the storied base in Florida's Panhandle.
He was training in aviation.
Captain Tim Kinsella would not comment on any links to terrorism. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis says the Saudis will be held responsible.
The government of Saudi Arabia needs to make things better for these victims.
In all, a dozen people were shot, including two sheriff's deputies, in the second assault on a Navy base this week. Sagar Magani at the Pentagon.
November's robust hiring gains are squelching fears of a recession. New numbers show U.S. employers added 266,000 jobs last month, the most since January. Monthly hiring also has picked up. The unemployment rate of 3.5% is at its lowest level in 50 years. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Hi, I'm Jay Farner, CEO of Quicken Loans, America's largest mortgage lender. Let's talk credit card debt for a minute. If you feel you're carrying too much of it, you're not alone. The average household in the U.S. carries over $8,000 in credit card debt. Ready for some good news? With a cash-out refinance from Quicken Loans, you can quickly and easily put some of the equity in your home to good use by paying off a lot of that high-interest credit card debt. A great way to take cash out is with our 30-year fixed-rate mortgage. The rate today on our 30-year fixed-rate mortgage is 3.99%, APR 4.18%. Call us today at 800-QUICKEN to learn how taking cash out with a 30-year fixed mortgage might be the right solution for you. And for a record 9 years in a row, J.D. Power has ranked Quicken Loans highest in the nation in customer satisfaction for primary mortgage origination. Call us today at 800-QUICKEN or go to rocketmortgage.com.
For J.D. Power award information, visit jdpower.com. Rates subject to change. A 1.375% fee to receive this discounted rate. Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. License in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030.
The Pentagon is considering sending more troops to the Middle East to help deter aggressive moves from Iran.
Military leaders have been saying for months that the U.S. needs to beef up its presence in the Middle East after a series of maritime attacks and bombings in Saudi Arabia blamed on Iran. A Defense Department undersecretary told senators troop strength in the region will change, and other officials say the options being considered would send another 5,000 to 7,000 troops to the Middle East. President Trump's National Security Advisor Robert O'Brien told Fox News Trump is open to deploying more troops. Jackie Quinn, Washington.
It's just a week into the holiday shopping season, and Amazon's having trouble getting packages to shoppers' doorsteps on time. Company says the delays are due to bad weather in parts of the country and the large amount of orders it received during Black Friday. News and analysis at townhall.com. Today marks the 78th anniversary commemorating the Japanese bombardment of Pearl Harbor, which claimed more than 2,300 Americans and propelled the U.S. into World War II. Correspondent George Bonzani files this report.
Although it's rightly called a surprise attack, military affairs analyst Lieutenant Colonel Robert McGinnis says the U.S. military had begun years before to prepare.
Even on top of a number of the mountains there, you know, Diamond Head and others, you can see even today, and I've visited those sites, gun emplacements and bunkers and the like, fully anticipating that there would be some sort of attack from the Japanese forces.
The wrecks of only two of the vessels from that day remain in Pearl Harbor, the USS Arizona and the USS Utah, as the others were repaired and put back into service or scrapped. George Manzani reporting.
More on these stories at townhall.com. I'm Gordon Griffin.
Hi, this is Linda Bott, and let me tell you about our North State Now show on Thursday nights at 6 p.m. right here on KCNR. The first Thursday of the month will be yours truly, covering arts and entertainment and all kinds of fun stuff. The second Thursday will be Michelle Slade, highlighting and interviewing North State heroes. The third Thursday is James Masada and Rhonda Alvey, bringing you all things with Enjoy the Magazine and Enjoy the Store. And the fourth Thursday from Shasta Regional Medical Center is Dr. Orna Gill covering all things women's health. The title sponsor for North State Now is the Reading Civic Auditorium. Also brought to you by the Black Bear Diner, Shasta Regional Medical Center, and Carlene's Restaurant and Bar located at 1100 Center Street. That's North State Now right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. 6 p.m. North State Now.
And the other thing we should do is we should challenge these students. We should challenge students in these schools to have advanced placement programs in these schools. We have this notion that somehow if you're poor, you cannot do it. Poor kids are just as bright and just as talented as white kids. Wealthy kids, black kids, Asian kids. No, I really mean it, but think how we think about it.
No, I really mean it. He really means it. He doesn't know what it means, but whatever it is, he means it. That's Lunch Bucket Joe. He's out of his flipping mind. Guy's a lunatic. He's a mental case. His driver's license should be taken away if he actually has one. But right now, it looks like he'll be the Democrats' nominee for the presidency of the United States, at least until Hillary jumps in. The earth will shake when she does, literally and figuratively. And then, of course, Michelle Obama, she's got to get in. She's like Atlas. For the modern age, she can hold the weight of the world on her shoulders, but most of the weight will go to her arms. The Washington Post continues to attack Melania Trump. You see, they got a new attack piece on her. They continue to attack. They resent her because they're not attractive women working at the Washington Post. They're bitter about women like Melania Trump. They have been all their lives since junior high school. they're the mean girls, these Washington Post women that they assign. They only assign women, of course, to attack Melania Trump because they only assign black people to attack Ben Carson. It's racist and it's sexist. It's the Democratic Party. But we've got lots and lots, once again, because it is a day of the week going on this Friday. And it's, you know, impeachment, blah, blah, blah. I'll get into some of that stuff. But what a tedious bunch of hacks. This city is filled with ridiculous people. And I'd like to apologize as a longtime resident of the city of Washington, D.C. I'd like to apologize for what this city has become and what these people have become. Nancy Pelosi is a disgrace to her office and the news media. She was on with Jake Tapper last night. They gave her a town hall. They gave her hours. How long was the damn thing? It's like 7 hours long. Who cares? It was an in-kind contribution from the Time Warner / CNN Corporation to the Democrat Party. And the IRS should be looking into CNN and MSNBC for that matter. Because they are all day in-kind contributions violating FEC rules, Election Commission rules, for contributions. But none of that matters. Hillary Clinton and the foundation, they've taken millions from Russia, and that doesn't matter. They've taken millions from Ukraine, and that doesn't matter. Joe Biden is fighting corruption in Ukraine and found a $50,000 a month job for his crackhead son, Hunter, and that doesn't matter. It just doesn't matter. Now, the truth is just not important anymore. Jake Tapper was the host last night for the DNC and Nancy Pelosi. Keep in mind that Jake Tapper is a former Democrat Hill staffer, all right? He's and a former journalist. Jake Tapper, and he's a guy that I know, and I see him on the street, and I say hello, and he used to be a reporter. Then he went to CNN and became an anchor, and you know, now he's just a Democrat. Honestly, that's just a fact. It's a tragic reality. But Jake Tapper is a former Democrat Hill staffer. He worked for a Democrat member of the House of Representatives whose husband was also, for a woman who was a member of the House, and her husband was also a member of the House. I think he did one term in the House of Representatives and then two terms in prison. He went to prison for being corrupt. And they're the parents of Chelsea Clinton's husband. You see, it's a tangled little incestuous kind of Caligula-like nightmare in Washington, D.C. these days. And Jake Tapper, who was hosting Nancy Pelosi last night, and hosting is the right word, on CNN for their fake town hall meeting, absolutely disgraceful, is a former Democrat Hill staffer. I guess they could have had Jim Sciutto, who was an actual Obama administration official and now a CNN anchor. Or maybe Dana Bash, who for 9 years was married to Jeremy Bash, an Obama administration official. Or, let's see, shall I go on? Because it goes on and on and on. The fix is in, all right? It's the old tip of your index finger down the right side of your nose. It's the fix is in. It's the sting. And the media is corrupt, the Democrats are corrupt, and they're working in concert to corrupt our political system. And they've done a hell of a job, actually. They've done a bang-up job of that. And now they're pretending. What is today's pretend that all Democrats are? And they just believe, like sheep. They just walk right off the cliff. And what is today's fabricated impeachable offense? I just had a tweet. Pelosi said yesterday that exercising executive privilege. The House issues subpoenas for White House officials. And then, naturally, it always happens. I've seen it again and again. Everybody has. A conflict between the executive branch and the legislative branch. And naturally, it ends up in court. See, they go to court. And Nancy Pelosi said yesterday that taking it to court is obstruction of justice. And, I mean, that is just third world Soviet style fur hat. Tanks rolling through Red Square, mental illness, and the news media nods with a serious look on their faces, with their shoulders slightly turned toward the camera and a pen in their hand, looking very concerned. And they say, yes, that's right. Taking the House to court, that's obstruction of Congress and obstruction of justice. And of course it's not. But everything is a lie. And then, okay, James Rosen, formerly of Fox News, now with Sinclair News, and a friend of mine, yesterday asked Nancy Pelosi if she hates Donald Trump. And Pelosi had a mental breakdown, which was, you know, praised by the news media, because how dare you ask Nancy Pelosi a question? Nancy Pelosi was shocked. She's like, is that what a reporter does? Yeah, it is. It's like a Twilight Zone. It was a Twilight Zone moment for Nancy Pelosi. A reporter asked her a question that wasn't along the lines of, what makes you so great? Why are you, with your really advanced senility and all of the plastic surgery you've had and your hair, whatever's gone on with that, and the fact that you're like It, the clown from that scary movie that lives in the storm drain with the red balloon, and that you don't have any idea what the Constitution says or what was intended or anything like that. It's Nancy Pelosi. And then she's like, is this what a reporter does? She's unfamiliar. Yesterday, I played the audio of her yesterday at her first of several press events for her yesterday. And the woman is nuts. The woman is crazy. This whole party is crazy. And then CNN had again this free in-kind contribution for the Democrat Party with a former Democrat Hill staffer hosting. It's quite the deal that they get. And CNN is pretending today that James Rosen, he asked, here's the question he asked: do you hate President Trump? And CNN all morning long with Paul Begala and Joe Lockhart are saying, how dare he attack her faith? See, because they know James Rosen isn't on the Democrat Party team. He's not with CNN or CBS and the rest. So he's with Sinclair and Fox News. So he's like pro-journalism and he's pro-truth and he's honest and he's smart and he remembers the news from yesterday, unlike all of these people. And he can put all the pieces together and create a picture, unlike on CNN, where they say, how dare you attack her faith? I'm sorry. He said, do you hate President Trump? And that was deemed on CNN to be an attack on her faith, because she said falsely, I'm a Catholic and I don't hate anyone. She hates, it's like the old, was the joke, you know, you can't say, oh, I hate white people, or I hate Jews, or I hate, Hispanics. But you can't say, I hate people, right? As I played the joke as a comedian who does the thing. Nancy Pelosi says she doesn't hate anyone. I guess that means she hates everyone. Because, like Hillary Clinton, she didn't hate anyone either. Just those deplorable tens of millions of irredeemable racists and bigots. And, you know, and she's played that game, too. And then she fakes indignation yesterday. And the news media, they puff up their little tiny chests and they say, Nancy Pelosi's faith was accosted, insulted, assaulted by James Rosen, who on CNN they call him Jamie Rosen because they just have no idea what's going on around them. They have the brains of imbecile children, not even children, because most children are smarter than these people and have more knowledge and better memories than these people. These people have Newsheimers to beat the band. But there are a couple of things that we're going to get into today. There are a lot of other things, too. CNN's ratings, once again, I don't know how they keep doing it. They keep shattering records with their ratings. Once again, during the week of impeachment, and I have the story in front of me, I'll get to it, another three-year low for CNN in ratings, but they don't care because they're on the team. You know, that's a losing season, but they think in the long run the Democrats will come out ahead. So they're corrupt. They're corrupt as hell. And their ratings show it, but they don't care, and they will prove to us that they don't care by adjusting nothing. Because as their audience runs from them in horror with their journalistic hair on fire, wondering where you go to get the news since CNN is no longer an actual option, CNN is going to be fine with losing audience because they're dead enders. They're Saddam Hussein's dead enders. They're Japanese soldiers on an island in the Pacific in 1972 with burlap pants and palm frond hats, taking notes on Republicans walking by. They're creepy people. This is we've entered a new era in American politics, and it's creepy. It's creepy. The level of corruption and dishonesty is filthy, and our phony baloney reporters ought to be aware of it. Funny story out of UC Davis, hopefully I can get to, in California. Professor under fire, being attacked by 600 professors, signing petitions attacking women because she questioned the efficacy of having a political purity test for incoming professors who have to explain what they've done to promote and spread diversity.
before they can be hired as professors in whatever field they may specialize in, because these people are crazy. And I got lots of fun stuff to get to today. The Reverend Al Sharpton is a funny person, and Pete Buttigieg. I've got some questions about Buttigieg too. I'm serious. I got some Buttigieg questions that need to be answered. And one of them is this. He's pulled off the impossible. The impossible nightmare for a Democrat. It's not the impossible dream. It's the impossible nightmare for a Democrat presidential candidate. You know that the Democrats are the anti-police party. They get police assassinated all over the country. There are people, you know, where that Barack Obama started whipping people up into this anti, all police are racist. And so, a Democrat by the name of Ishmael Brinsley went up to New York and murdered officers Ramos and Lou in their police car. And then he committed suicide because he was the Democrat suicide attacker. It was early on. It was an early sign of the emerging fanaticism of today's Democrat Party. It was followed up by James Hodgkinson shooting Congressman Steve Scalise and trying to murder every Republican member of Congress in a mass political assassination. Wasn't really much of a news story. It lasted about a day. It's not like Charlottesville or somewhere where something real happened. Then, of course, the Black Lives Matter rally where the black militant massacred five police officers and in Dallas and then shot several more as well, wounding them. And that was suicide attack also. And then the suicide attack on police in Baton Rouge and all that. So obviously they're the anti-police party. But Buttigieg this is amazing because they're anti-police in order to suck up to black people who they enslaved and subjected to Jim Crow. And, you know, they gave them the Klan, the Democrat Party did, and lynchings. That's the Democrat Party's legacy. Look it up. Interned the Japanese, you know, all that good stuff. But Buttigieg has found this amazing place on the high wire where the black community despises him and the police despise him. Now, that's how do you even do that? That's impossible. You're a Democrat. Of course, you hate the police and you spread hatred and you lie about the police and call everybody racist and stuff because you're a pathetic loser, a run-of-the-mill Democrat. But Buttigieg has found a way to position himself. It's like the opposite of triangulation or a new kind of triangulation, you know, the Clintons and all that stuff. And I'm marveling at this. He's got the police against him and the black community against him. The black community and the police. You know, Democrats always have one or the other. You know, they don't normally have the police. But Buttigieg has alienated both the police and black America. How do you do that? Whew. They should teach courses. Just when you thought they couldn't alienate anymore, here comes Buttigieg. Also today, we're raising money for our favorite charity, and that's Fisher House, our favorite organization. And I'm going to have a guest on that subject coming right up.
There's only one Chris Plant, The Chris Plant Show.
With an Allstate agent, you get a local expert to find the best coverage for you. And because they live in your community, you can always count on them when you need them most. When you bundle home and auto, you'll save. Call your local Allstate agent today. Are you in good hands?
It may not be stomach issues.
For me, it's intense gas, or pain, or diarrhea, sometimes all at once, over and over.
I spent years with the symptoms, but could never figure it out.
No matter what I did, they never went away. So I decided to break it down for my doctor and get really specific about my symptoms.
We discovered that exocrine pancreatic insufficiency, or EPI, may be the reason for my stomach issues.
EPI is caused by my pancreas. It leads to diarrhea, gas, bloating, stomach pain, unexplained weight loss, and oily stools. The symptoms just don't go away.
But EPI can show up with even one symptom.
The good news? EPI is manageable.
But to get to the right diagnosis, you have to break it down for your doctor and get specific about the severity of your symptoms.
Visit IdentifyEPI.com to learn more and use the symptom checker to help change the conversation with your doctor. Brought to you by AbbVie.
It's open enrollment, Fred. Time to compare plans.
Oh, Alice, we're fine with what we have.
Well, that's what the Johnsons thought until they tried Medicare's new Plan Finder.
The Johnsons, huh?
We saved on our prescription costs.
And got extra benefits.
Come on, Fred. Maybe we'll find something better.
Plans change every year. Use the new Plan Finder at Medicare.gov to compare health and drug plans. Open enrollment ends December 7th.
What do you know? Comparing plans really pays.
Paid for by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Looking for the perfect gift? Then look no further than your local Ace for lots of perfect gift ideas. Whether it's Steel, Milwaukee, Traeger, Weber, or Yeti, you'll find all these great brands and more in one great place, your neighborhood Ace. And to help make sure your gifts are under your tree on time, you can buy online and pick up in store or get it delivered from your local Ace. This Saturday, don't miss a chance to meet Santa at our neighborhood Christmas party from 11 to 2. Get great deals and more when you wrap it in red at Ace at participating stores.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
Hey, this is Jay Farner, CEO of Quicken Loans. Quicken Loans is celebrating our best quarter ever, and now we're celebrating some of the lowest refinancing rates ever. Rates have dropped so much that many Americans can reduce their rate. You may be able to save money on your monthly mortgage payment right now. The rate today on our 30-year fixed-rate mortgage is 3.99%, APR 4.18%. Call us at 800-QUICKEN or go to rocketmortgage.com to learn more.
Rates subject to change. Pay 1.375% fee to receive this discounted rate. Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. License in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030.
With an Allstate agent, you get a local expert to find the best coverage for you. And because they live in your community, you can always count on them when you need them most. When you bundle home and auto, you'll save. Call your local Allstate agent today. Are you in good hands?
As gun laws continue to tighten up across the country, Bastiani Arms will continue to provide our community with quality firearms, hard-to-find ammo, off-list fully built AR lower receivers, and the absolute best customer service. Get out of the grab-and-go box stores and come talk to a knowledgeable firearm specialist. The good guys at Bastiani Arms are real gun enthusiasts with two full-time gunsmiths on hand 5 days a week. Right now, Bastiani Arms is stocked up on hard-to-find fine ammo, 30-30, 38 Special, and 44 Magnum. More people than ever are exercising their rights to conceal and carry a firearm. Seth Stoke has over 20 years' experience in firearms and offers CCW classes, women-only CCW classes, and hunter education. Bastiani Arms has everything you need for firearms, and they appreciate you shopping local. Bastiani Arms, on the corner of Larkspur Lane and Wall Street in Reading. Join the revolution.
Hi, this is Chuck Kinney of Shasta Gas Propane. Our company motto is, our customers are warm friends. We are demonstrating our commitment to this motto by helping those in our area that lost their homes in the car fire and are moving onto their property in an RV during the rebuilding process. We can hook up a 120-gallon propane tank to your RV gas system and deliver gas to your property so you won't have to disconnect your 7-gallon cylinder and take it somewhere to get it filled, then reconnect it and relight your pilots. We will deliver and connect the tank at no charge, then discount the price of the propane. Give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793. We want to help you during this stressful time.
Again, today is a bit of an unusual day here on our humble radio broadcast. Once a year, we take a little time to raise money for our favorite organization, Fisher House. And if you'd like to do that, and I certainly hope that you would, give them a call at 888-294-8560. 888-294-8560. Right now on the line, I have our great friend and the president of the Fisher House Foundation, Dave Coker. Dave Coker of Fisher House. Come on, Dave. He's always there. He's right there. I can see.
Good morning.
Hey, there's Dave. Now, were you sleeping? Were you taking a nap?
I'm getting a little bit of feedback.
Getting a little bit of feedback. Oh, that's problematic. I'm sorry to hear that. Well, listen. Why don't I stop talking? Why don't I just let you talk, Dave? You're the president of the Fisher House Foundation. You've worked there. You're now retired Army officer, And why should people donate to Fisher House? You look around, you think there's no war anymore. Why do we need Fisher House? Which is, of course, people describe it as the Ronald McDonald House for our veterans and provides hosing and so. But I'll let you explain why people should donate.
Well, we know that life's going to happen. When you get that phone call and you learn that a loved one has been wounded, ill, or injured, you want two things. You want the best medical care possible, and you want to be there. The military and the VA health systems are two of the best in the world. They do a great job of providing world-class health care. Having a place for families to stay is a little bit of a challenge. And so for 30 years now, we've been working to meet the need. The program started when a man named Zachary Fisher said, you know, I want to be a blessing to those who serve. And he built the first 20 houses by making a personal contribution. He wrote a check for those.
Mm-hmm.
When he passed away in 99, the Fisher House Foundation took over that responsibility, and today we have 86 houses. This year we're on track to help 35,000 families. And while those numbers are great, what's important to remember is that every family has a story. And we help everything from those going through problem pregnancies, to those injured and wounded in service, and to those who are dealing with other challenges in life later, because you never know when that phone is going to ring.
And it's important to remember also that while it appears that the war or wars have ratcheted down, we do still have men and women in harm's way and being wounded and being killed on a regular basis in combat in the war that never ends, and likely won't end anytime soon. And this is just a great way to be an American and to contribute to a really great organization. You know, the combined federal campaign of federal employees allow you to contribute through the CFC. My best girl arranged yesterday, just started with a new company, Compass Real Estate, and they've arranged for charitable contributions to be taken out of every paycheck. And they're going to Fisher House. You'll not be surprised to learn. But this is Dave Coker. We ran out the clock on you. Thank you for joining us. Dave's a great guy. We know Dave. We hang out with Dave every year. He's just wonderful and a retired, as I said, Army officer. Call 888-294-8560. 888-294-8560. Contribute to Fisher House. You can hear more about it as the morning goes on. It is just the greatest organization in the country for our military people and families.
This is the Chris Plant Show.
KCNR is proud to announce that we are now live at 96.5 FM, as well as online, and as always, heard on 1460 AM. Weekday mornings, wake up with the Sue McClain News Hour, followed by Free Fire Radio, your talk radio station at the epicenter of change in downtown Reading. 9 to noon, be informed and laugh along with Armstrong and Getty, the conscience of the nation. Noon to 3, find your financial peace with Dave Ramsey. 3 to 6, the hard-hitting constitutional expert, Mark Levin. Monday through Thursdays at 6 p.m., local shows feature everything from the paranormal to pop culture to unsung heroes of our area. 7 to 9, Ben Shapiro with an expanded program that brings the issues of the day to your radio. And finish your weekday with the Chris Plant Show, 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. KCNR, now on 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, and always online. More than ever, we're your locally owned, community-connected talk radio.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Collision. She had minor damage to her rear bumper. I wrote her an estimate. Later, I received a call. The lady responsible for the damage wanted to pay for the repairs out of pocket. Her insurance agent told her a claim would raise her rates for years. With our experience in the claim process, I explained to her most insurance companies would forgive a claim if the cost was below a minimum amount. I suggested she contact her insurance agent and have them review her policy. She called back very excited. It appeared her policy did extend forgiveness. They would pay for the repairs and she wouldn't be charged with a claim or have to pay a deductible. The accident would not cost her a thing. She was very pleased. Good thing the vehicle owner came to the right place for repairs. We all pay a lot for insurance. Choosing Coachmaster will ensure you get the most for your money. Let this experience work for you. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
Purpose-driven banking. That's the vision behind the founding of Five Star Bank in 1999. Services inspired by partnership and defined by shared vision and goals. Five Star Bank, a champion of local economic development and community stewardship. Your success is their success. Now that's smart people doing good business. In a world that's both more connected and more isolated by high tech, Five Star Bank brings you a personal touch to small business banking, cash management, and online services. Five Star Bank, consistently rated among the very best by industry associations, rating agencies, and of course, customers and partners just like you. Your partner in success is Five Star Bank. FiveStarBank.com. Visit your local branch at 358 Hartnell in Reading. Progressive, professional, personal. That's Five Star Bank. Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
Hi, this is Linda Bott, and let me tell you about our North State Now show on Thursday nights at 6 p.m. right here on KCNR. The first Thursday of the month will be yours truly, covering arts and entertainment and all kinds of fun stuff. The second Thursday will be Michelle Slade, highlighting and interviewing North State heroes. The third Thursday is James Masada and Rhonda Alvey, bringing you all things with Enjoy the Magazine and Enjoy the Store. And the fourth Thursday from Shasta Regional Medical Center is Dr. Orna Gill, covering all things women's health. The title sponsor for North State Now is the Reading Civic Auditorium, also brought to you by the Black Bear Diner, Shasta Regional Medical Center, and Carlene's Restaurant and Bar, located at 1100 Center Street. That's North State Now, right here on KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. 6 p.m., North State Now.
As gun laws continue to tighten up across the country, Bastiani Arms will continue to provide our community with quality firearms, hard-to-find ammo, off-list fully built AR lower receivers, and the absolute best customer service. Get out of the grab-and-go box stores and come talk to a knowledgeable firearms specialist. The good guys at Bastiani Arms are real gun enthusiasts with two full-time gunsmiths on hand 5 days a week. Right now, Bastiani Arms is stocked up on hard-to-find fine ammo, 30-30, 38 Special, and 44 Magnum. More people than ever are exercising their rights to conceal and carry a firearm. Seth Stoke has over 20 years' experience in firearms and offers CCW classes, women-only CCW classes, and hunter education. Bastiani Arms has everything you need for firearms, and they appreciate you shopping local. Bastiani Arms, on the corner of Larkspur Lane and Wall Street in Reading. Join the revolution.
Roads and bridges. If you got a business, that you didn't build that.
That's right, you didn't build that.
Somebody else made that happen.
Someone else, not you. No, they had roads. They had roads and things. Apparently, the Romans built your business. Maybe if you're in Washington, Pierre L'Enfant is responsible for your business because of the roads. These people are criminals. You know what President Trump did build? The economy. No, this is Obama's economy. Obama's economy is dead. It was dead when it was alive. It was dead when he left. It's long since dead. This is President Trump's economy. And guess what happened today? New numbers came out. The new jobs numbers came out. Jobs growth soars in November as payrolls surge by 266,000 jobs.
Just say thank you, please.
Just say thank you. Non-payroll, it's the non-farm, I love this non-farm payroll, it's, you know, categories for economists. Non-farm payrolls surged by 266,000 in the month of November, better than the 187,000 expected by economists polled by Dow Jones. They were expecting 187,000 jobs, and instead we got 266,000 jobs. I saw Stuart Varney on the television this morning. He's a British fella, but he's an American now, and he's on our side, so we like him. And he was saying, he's an economist guy, he said, 150 to maybe 200,000 jobs, optimistically, I assume he was operating with this 187,000 number. And it beat expectations. Now, listen, the unemployment rate also went down to 3.5% from 3.6%, which was already a record that brought us back to December of 1969. It was the lowest unemployment rate since December of 1969. And so it now ticks down to 3.5. Back to the 2019 low and matching the lowest jobless rate since 1969. Raise your hand if you were alive in 1969. Because most of the country was not. And that's what President Trump has done with the economy, just by the way. Oh, and also, the average hourly earnings rose by 3.1% from a year ago, slightly above the 3% expected by economists polled by Dow Jones. The jobs markets turned in a stellar performance in November, CNBC types bitterly, with non-farm payroll surging 266,000, unemployment rate falling to 3.5%, according to the Labor Department's numbers released on Friday. Those totals easily beat the Wall Street consensus. Economists surveyed by Dow Jones said they'd been looking for solid job growth of 187,000 jobs, saw the unemployment rate holding steady at 3.6%, but instead it went down, beat expectations. The jobs growth was the best since January, while hopes already were up. Much of that was based on the return of General Motors workers from a lengthy strike. The stock market futures surged in reaction to the better-than-expected report. Bond yields also surged. Now, this is all great news, of course, for the United States and for all of us and for retirement and for unions with retirement funds and for everybody, everybody. But the news media will dump all over this. Either that or they'll completely ignore it because those are the two things that they do. but I'm going to tell you about it because, I'm on our side. I'm on the side of the United States of America, of the taxpayers and the voters. Crazy as that might sound, I know that's not in fashion these days. Wah, wah, wah. All right, with that, we're talking about impeachment. We're going to get to Nanny Pelosi. We've got Joe Biden, who's out of his mind. If he were a Republican, his political career would be over today based on his behavior of yesterday. But because the news media is spectacularly corrupt, they're going to praise him for being demented, for being a violently insane, probably criminally insane lunatic who's threatening his own supporters, just by the way, at this Biden gathering. A Biden gathering. And you see, we didn't even get to it yesterday, but the boot edge fiasco where the African-Americans for boot edge, and they're like, I tried to count, there are about 24 people in the room. And then one left-wing lunatic white boy with a Black Lives Matter T-shirt on runs in and hijacks the thing and grabs the microphone away. And Buttigieg, and then the news media is like, oh, Buttigieg is surging. He's going really gangbusters. Boy, he's great. And Joe Biden's the leader. They tell you, it doesn't matter how crazy or nutty or wacky or stupid or ignorant these people are. The news media tells you that the Democrats are just great and they can do no wrong. And Buttigieg has alienated black people and the police. How do you do that? That's the conflict that the Democrat Party created right there. And he's on the wrong side of both of it. It's like both ends of the stick. He's on the wrong end of both end or something like that. All right, let's go to the telephones. Let's go to, probably just best to leave it right there. Let's go to the telephones. Let's go to Paul calling from Haymarket, Virginia. Paul, you're on the Chris Plant Show. Paul. Hey, we're having some good tricks done on the thing here. Paul just dropped off there. Isn't that fun? Hey, Paul hangs in there for 31 minutes. Let's go to Rick calling from Fairfax, Virginia. Rick, you're on the Chris Plant Show.
Hi, Chris.
Hey, Rick.
Everybody's talking about why Nancy Pelosi is doing this, and there may be a very easy connection as to why she's doing this. We just saw two illustrations of parents protecting their sons. That was, of course, Melania Trump, you know, defending Barron.
Right.
And Biden defending Hunter.
Yeah, very good. Okay, yeah, go ahead.
The question becomes, is Nancy defending Paul Jr.? That would be one major reason.
Came up in our morning meeting today. Paul Jr., her son, Paul Pelosi Jr., works in the oil and gas industry. You'll be surprised to learn. And he's doing work with his company in Ukraine, which you'll be surprised to learn. And fascinatingly, last night on CNN with Jake Tapper, this didn't come up. It just didn't come up. Isn't that fascinating? But I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. Go ahead.
No, it's very interesting, you know, that, you know, that she would... in answer to James Rosen's request, you know, do you hate Trump? You know, she got very upset about that. The question is why? Why did she get very upset? If, in fact, you know, Trump, who is very knowledgeable of international business, is, in fact, going to use Rudy Giuliani to expose her son, that might be a reason why she does hate Trump. What do you think, Chris?
Well, you know, that's certainly that we're going to need a special counsel to spend several years to getting to the bottom of this. Listen, I mean, I'm being a little tongue-in-cheek, but you're 100% right, of course. The Democrat Party has all of these entanglements in Ukraine, which seems like a peculiar pick since they keep telling us that it's the most corrupt nation on the Eurasian continent. It's more corrupt than any country on the African continent. It's more corrupt than any country in the North American continent. And Australia, you know, it's only one country, so that doesn't count. And all the Democrats have business connections. The Biden and Biden's son. You got Pelosi's son with the ties there. You got John Kerry's son was offered a $50,000, his stepson, $50,000 a month job, but he's got the Heinz food fortune, so he didn't take the job. And Kofor Black of the CIA is on the board of Burisma, the Ukrainian gas company. And if you raise an eyebrow at this and say, well, this is kind of curious, isn't it? This most corrupt country. And they convicted people in a court in Ukraine for meddling in our election. And we've got this Alexandra Chalupa woman who's with the DNC working with the Ukrainian embassy in Washington to get dirt on the Trump campaign. Out of Ukraine, why does all of this go to Ukraine? I'm curious about why all of these tentacles from the Democrat Party octopus.
There may be an answer, Chris.
What is it?
There may be an answer. Viscoil, where the son of Nancy Pelosi, Paul Jr., he served as the president and CEO. That's, I think, a defunct company now. Viscoil, Kenya News is reporting that they reported this in October. Quote, Viscoil is purported on the radar as one of the companies that was part of the Obama administration's redistribution of billions of dollars into the new energy technology. This must be, this may be much greater in terms of the influence other countries would have on our country for decades, Chris, for decades. This thing is much bigger, perhaps, than we think.
So you're saying that the oil and gas company that Nancy Pelosi's son, Paul Pelosi Jr., was working for may have had money funneled to the company by way of the Obama administration?
This is what Kenya News reported back in October this year.
Yeah, I look, the whole thing is dirty from the get-go, Rick, and whether and I'm not familiar with that report. So let me say it. But I am familiar with all the other reports, and I know that this thing stinks. I think my mother used to say it stinks to high heaven. This thing stinks to high heaven. And what really, I mean, if just the Hunter Biden, the crackhead, getting the job for $50,000 a month in an industry he'd never worked in, country he'd never visited, all that stuff, and that's what Joe Biden became mentally unstable about yesterday. We'll get to that. If that alone is not enough of a red flag for you, if that's not just stinking of political corruption, then you need to check your sense of smell, because there's something wrong with you. It obviously stinks of corruption. It reeks of corruption. His buddy, Devin Archer, was given the same job, $50,000 a month. As far as we know, they never went to Ukraine. They never had to do anything for the money. But Joe Biden's father was vice president of the United States, and he was there, we know, because he brags about it, threatening the government, making them do things quid pro quo in exchange for getting U.S. aid. Those are our taxpayer dollars, by the way. And I think that he may have been serving the interests of himself rather than the country and our national security, phrasing I've heard a lot about recently, but it seems to be a one-way street. And again, Jake Tapper, former Democrat Capitol Hill staffer, had Nanny Pelosi on there last night. Did they mention, I'm looking at Michael Piercy now, did they mention, did Jake Tapper, anyone mention Hunter Biden last night? No? Or Joe Biden's trouble or Ukraine or any of that?
They mentioned Republicans in
Well, no, they didn't. And did they mention that Nancy Pelosi was on a video with her, you know,
her son,
talking about her son when he was, in fact, the COO and the president of the company there that was operating.
And all these people that are so...
Nancy Pelosi was on a video. They've completely buried this story, Chris.
Yeah, you're 100% right. And I've seen the video. It was a promotional video for the company. We've seen it, and I think we may have even played a piece of it here. Yeah, there's a lot of stinky corruption in Washington, D.C. And we expect that from politicians from time to time. Power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts absolutely, and all that good stuff. Everybody knows that. But the problem that we have here is not the corrupt politicians. It's the corrupt news media. It's CNN being spectacularly corrupt, and the Washington Post, and it's they can't all be corrupt. No, actually they can. I'm sorry to have to report that they can all be that corrupt. That the community of journalism has become corrupt, and they don't cover the news. They cover up the news, and they attack the political enemies of the Democratic Party. I mean, again, Rick, this whole episode that we've been suffering through for the last 2.5 years is based on the fact that the Democrats, the DNC, Hillary Clinton, the Obama administration, Comey's Justice Department, went to foreigners to get dirt on Donald Trump. That's what this whole damn thing is about from the get-go. And then they say, how dare you go to Ukraine to get dirt on your political opponent? When, in fact, he didn't just go saying, hey, I wonder if there's any dirt here. We went knowing. All right, your son got this job. How is that even possible when you're fighting Ukraine? And then the video emerges of Joe Biden bragging about threatening to withhold more than $1 billion in U.S. aid unless they fire the country's top prosecutor, who is kind of like being the attorney general or something. And maybe he's corrupt. I don't care. The reality is that Joe Biden is corrupt, too, because he should have recused himself from that process. Hey, wait a minute. My son has got a $50,000 a month no-show job in Ukraine with an oil company whose headquarters he's never been to. And maybe somebody else, maybe Secretary of State, should go and deal with this one instead of me. But instead, Joe Biden said, oh, that's fine. I'll go do that. Then he lies and says, well, I never talked to my son about his work. Oh, really? Your crackhead son who's dating your late son's widow? Who is supposed to be going to rehab but's hanging out with hookers and smoking crack, and you have no idea how he makes ends meet, and you're in Ukraine, and he's never been to Ukraine, but he's got this $50,000 a month paycheck coming out of Ukraine, and you're completely oblivious, completely unaware. Is that what I'm supposed to understand? And they say yes, and the news media looks at you straight-faced and says, what's the problem with that? That's a perfectly legitimate response. And, you know, we got corrupt politicians. I expect corrupt Republicans, corrupt Democrats as time goes on. But what's really filthy about this whole thing is the almost impossible-to-believe corruption of the news media in this thing. Rick, I like your thoughts.
You can smile and smile and still be a villain. When Clint Eastwood took the stage talking about Joe Biden, he said, you know, is there anything behind that smile? Well, we may basically have a lot more behind that smile than we actually have discovered at this point. And the investigation with John Solomon heading it up, you know, with Schiff now attacking John Solomon.
Well, let's get it over to the Senate and see what, you know, see if we can turn Mitch McConnell back into the snapping turtle. Coming up, more Fisher House.
You're listening to The Chris Plant Show.
It may not be stomach issues.
For me, it's intense gas, or pain, or diarrhea, sometimes all at once, over and over.
I spent years with the symptoms, but could never figure it out.
No matter what I did, they never went away. So I decided to break it down for my doctor and get really specific about my symptoms.
We discovered that exocrine pancreatic insufficiency, or EPI, may be the reason for my stomach issues.
EPI is caused by my pancreas. It leads to diarrhea, gas, bloating, stomach pain, unexplained weight loss, and oily stools. The symptoms just don't go away.
But EPI can show up with even one symptom.
The good news? EPI is manageable.
But to get to the right diagnosis, you have to break it down for your doctor and get specific about the severity of your symptoms.
Visit identifyepi.com to learn more and use the symptom checker to help change the conversation with your doctor. Brought to you by AbbVie.
Get to Kohl's Friends and Family Sale and take an extra 25% off. Take an extra 25% off family jammies and family outerwear, already 40 to 50% off. And take an extra 15% off Melissa and Doug toys. Plus, get Kohl's cash. Plus, shop our daily deal reveal every day. You'll find new gifts at every turn this holiday at Kohl's. Select styles, 25% offer valid December 5th and 9th with promo code MyFamily25. Some exclusions apply. See store or Kohl's.com for details.
Looking for the perfect gift? Then look no further than your local Ace for lots of perfect gift ideas. Whether it's Steel, Milwaukee, Traeger, Weber, or Yeti, you'll find all these great brands and more in one great place, your neighborhood Ace. And to help make sure your gifts are under your tree on time, you can buy online and pick up in store or get it delivered from your local Ace. This Saturday, don't miss a chance to meet Santa at our neighborhood Christmas party from 11 to 2. Get great deals and more when you wrap it in red at Ace at participating stores.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
Hi, this is Chuck Kinney of Shasta Gas Propane. Our company motto is, our customers are warm friends. We are demonstrating our commitment to this motto by helping those in our area that lost their homes in the car fire and are moving onto their property in an RV during the rebuilding process. We can hook up a 120-gallon propane tank to your RV gas system and deliver gas to your property so you won't have to disconnect your 7-gallon cylinder and take it somewhere to get it filled, then reconnect it and relight your pilots. We will deliver and connect the tank at no charge, then discount the price of the propane. Give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793. We want to help you during this stressful time.
Alan Gordon, Coach Master Collision. She had minor damage to her rear bumper. I wrote her an estimate. Later, I received a call. The lady responsible for the damage wanted to pay for the repairs out of pocket. Her insurance agent told her a claim would raise her rates for years. With our experience in the claim process, I explained to her most insurance companies would forgive a claim if the cost was below a minimum amount. I suggested she contact her insurance agent and have them review her policy. She called back very excited. It appeared her policy did extend forgiveness. They would pay for the repairs, and she wouldn't be charged with a claim or have to pay a deductible. The accident would not cost her a thing. She was very pleased. Good thing the vehicle owner came to the right place for repairs. We all pay a lot for insurance. Choosing Coachmaster will ensure you get the most for your money. Let this experience work for you. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutoBody.com.
Purpose-driven banking. That's the vision behind the founding of Five Star Bank in 1999. Services inspired by partnership and defined by shared vision and goals. Five Star Bank, a champion of local economic development and community stewardship. Your success is their success. Now that's smart people doing good business. In a world that's both more connected and more isolated by high tech, Five Star Bank brings you a personal touch to small business banking, cash management, and online services. Five Star Bank, consistently rated among the very best by industry associations, rating agencies, and of course, customers and partners just like you. Your partner in success is Five Star Bank. FiveStarBank.com. Visit your local branch at 358 Hartnell in Reading. Progressive, professional, personal. That's Five Star Bank. Equal Housing Lender, member FDIC.
Okay, we are back, and today is our annual Fisher House fundraiser. We like to call it a radiothon because it's a thon on the radio. Please call 888-294-8560 to contribute generously to the great people at Fisher House. We've been working with Fisher House for years, and they're just the greatest organization. They really are. And on the line now, we have Mary Considine, who is the chief of staff with Fisher House Foundation, started there as a volunteer, and has worked there for 15 years. Mary, thanks for joining us.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thank you so much.
Well, tell me about your experience at Fisher House and why you're there after 15 years, starting as a volunteer and now being a big wig there.
Well, I have to say, Fisher House, it's just an itch that really gets under your skin, and then you don't want to stop. You can see the difference that what the program does for military families, for veterans, how much of a change it makes in their healing process and their recovery. And it's just something I've always been so proud to be a part of.
Well, it is, it is just the greatest organization. I've been to a number of Fisher Houses and, of course, been working with Dave and the gang that you work with every day at Fisher House for many years. When you meet somebody and for the first time and they say, what are you doing? You say, I work at Fisher House. They say, what does Fisher House do? What do you tell them?
That's a pretty standard question that I get a lot.
Yeah.
We simply say Fisher House provides a home away from home. We build homes where military families and veterans can be close to their loved one for completely free of charge for as long as necessary and be a part of the healing process.
And why is it free of charge?
We work hard to make sure that there is never a charge to stay at a Fisher House. The donations that we receive, even today through the WML Radiothon, help us make sure that all Fisher Houses are free all across the network of 80-plus Fisher Houses here in the U.S. and overseas.
Mm-hmm. And so far, I know we've raised more than $140,000 so far today. But it's something we do every year, and it is it's just the greatest organization. And again, I've been to Fisher House up in in Bethesda and so on. They're beautiful homes. They're large homes with typically with multiple apartments, right, where separate families, different families can stay.
Exactly.
And interact with one another.
A private refuge, a bedroom, a bathroom that they can come to and have the safe space at the end of a long day at the hospital.
Uh-huh.
But the real magic that is Fisher House is what happens in the communal living spaces, in the kitchen. The heart of the house is really, I would say, the family room, the kitchen, and that's where families come together. They share their stories. They get a hug at the end of a long day or a mm-hmm. difficult day, and they're there for each other.
And this applies whether we're talking about one of our troops that was wounded in Afghanistan in combat, or a family, a military family, young Army couple that has a child with cancer, and the child is receiving medical treatment, and the family is pulled away from their home or their home base, find themselves at a hospital. And you find the most amazing combinations of people, young couples, parents, wives, children. It's extraordinary. We've once again run out of time. Mary, thank you very much. Thank you so much for being here, and thank you for being you. Call 888-294-8560 and give to Fisher House. We do it every year. They're just so wonderful. If you don't know about them, look them up. You'll start giving.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.